Is Harley there?
Is Harley there? Yeah, she's here. Do you want me to talk to her?
Sure.
Harley. Harley. Say hi to Chris. She doesn't make noise.
Only if she has a squeaker.
Only if she has a squeak toy. But you could hear her call her.
Yeah.
Harley. She went for walks. And she also went for a ride because I had to get breakfast.
Does she get excited to go in the car?
Yeah, she loves to go for rides.
Yeah, so does Mabel. She's here too. She's half asleep next to me.
Matter of fact, I use that one word. She doesn't know the word walk, but she knows the word ride.
So she's looking at you now, like, let's go.
Yeah. She's losing weight. We're supposed to get her to lose weight, and I could start seeing her ribs now.
Yeah, I think.
Doctor said she had to lose weight.
Okay.
He said the vet said I did too.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
Yeah.
I remember that now. So next time you're both gonna get checked up.
That's right.
Like, take turns on the scale.
So we have a special guest today, but she's gonna. Well, I gave it away. I said she.
And well, people know the gender now.
Yeah. But
The
it's another hardcore collector in comics.
yeah,
And,
so people know they already know it's not Bob Breetal.
yeah.
That was a lot of people's prediction.
Yeah, that's everybody's guess.
So,
I need to find a battery for my mouse.
you're gonna
And this.
feed a battery to your mouse?
Yeah.
That's pet abuse.
That sucks. My mouse is about to go under, and I can't find a battery. I see
Can't.
every other kind of battery except the kind I need.
Car battery.
That's
I can't
right.
think of any other kind of batteries besides
Yeah, so somebody that has a
A's.
collection like the size of Bob Breetal's.
The
Close to it, anyway.
close to it, because he's got the record,
Yeah,
but
he's got the record.
so he's probably the female comic fan.
Yeah, hardcore.
So hardcore. Definitely a big collector.
Yeah. I think I found some batteries.
What kind are you looking for? Double A?
Double A. Watch it be a triple A. I'll be pissed off.
Too many A's.
Harley's looking at it like it's some kind of food or something.
It's nice. It's tiny. It's like the size of a something tasty.
Yeah, that's a double A. Harley, you can't eat batteries. They're not good for you.
Only the mice get to eat the batteries.
Yeah. The mice has got a new battery and the world is good again. It's funny 'cause it's one of those things that you look at and I was like, "Man, I haven't changed this mouse battery in a long time." I was just thinking about that this morning. And
Yeah.
sure enough, the red light went on as soon as we started podcasting.
I know the one I have now lasts a lot longer than my old one. Like
Yeah.
I remember one of the first wireless mouse I got, it would wear out pretty quickly, and the dongle or whatever you want to call it, the USB dongle
Yeah.
was super long. And now the one I got, it's got the little tiny nub.
Right.
Just like me. It's got a little tiny nub. I'm just kidding. You don't have to be upset by that. Like,
A tiny nub, like a, you know what?
yeah, I was just trying to make a joke about about having a small penis, but
I didn't catch it.
Yeah, it's maybe a little too.
A little too sophisticated with that word.
It's kind of hard to tell when I'm joking because it doesn't sound any different.
You'd have said schlong or no.
Yeah, that would have been a weird word to use for a USB thing that you plug into a USB though.
Mm-hmm.
My mouse has a tiny schlong.
Yeah.
And escape the maze.
That's right.
I mean, I guess that would be tough for a mouse if it had a huge schlong and it'd be tripping all over it.
Well,
all the time.
We used to have, well, Barb used to have a hamster.
It had a huge penis?
He had a big dick, man. He really did. It was almost the size of him.
Whoa.
Yeah.
My cat's penis is really super tiny.
God, I can't remember that hamster's name. Damn it. I'm getting old, man.
How long ago did you have it?
Oh, I was in high school.
Oh, well, that's a long time ago. You're pretty old.
I remember my two parakeets. One was named Hoser. He was really smart. He was a blue parakeet, and he used to like to moonwalk on the glass table. He would just go stay in the same spot and just moonwalk.
Nice.
And you could play hide and seek with him. It was weird because you'd go, come on, Hoser, and he'd follow you. He'd fly into each room. We never clipped his wings or anything. he eventually flew away, but he was smart, man. And he would like search every room and fly on your shoulder. And I never thought a parakeet would be like that, you know?
Yeah, I've never had a bird for a pet.
Yeah, we used to have them, and when I was back home, and we found one kind of flew to us in our yard here, which was really odd. But this bird looked like it was well kept and everything, so we put an ad, and somebody sure enough had that bird, so we gave them back. But it was a cool parakeet. We've had some dumb parakeets too. We had one that used to lay eggs like constantly. It was a female that we called Oscar because we could never tell the if it was a male or female. But she would just lay eggs all the time. Must have hurt too because she would start going every time the egg was coming out.
Ugh. I don't know why that seems so gross to me, but it just does for some reason.
Yeah.
I just wouldn't want this animal in my house just laying eggs. I don't know. Seems weird, but...
Well, do you eat eggs? Anyone's...
Yeah.
But not parakeet
eggs. Not parakeet eggs, as far as I know. Maybe one got snuck to me.
I didn't know if you did, like, the powdered eggs or what.
No. I don't know. I mean, we don't keep eggs in the house, but once in a while I have them when I'm out.
Yeah.
I get a breakfast sandwich that has egg on it or something from Panera or wherever. But in case anyone out there caught that statement I made about my cat's penis, I figure I should explain that a little bit more. That our cat is so fucking weird. He's definitely... Well, he's really weird with the whole eating all the time thing, and he's gotten particularly bad lately to the point that
Has he ever been to the vet to be checked? Like,
yeah, well, that's what I'm getting to, because he got worse lately. I mean, he's always been like really into eating and his meal times and stuff, but he eats all his food. He doesn't leave some of it behind, whereas cat we had growing up, we would just put the dry food out for it and it would nibble on it throughout the day. So he's always been different that way, but then lately he was getting worse where he's always hopping up on the dinner table and pestering us while we're eating, and then if he's not doing that, we couldn't leave food out while we're eating dinner in the kitchen because he'd go after that, or even climb in the sink if there was like scraps on plates and stuff. So it's like, kid, are really insane. So we did ha actually have them tested. We spent like over $200
Blood work and
on
stuff.
blood work and everything to test them for diabetes and hyperthyroid and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And he all came back at negative. So I was like, congratulations, Dusty,
You're just a
certified.
hungry.
You're just a certified asshole. But
Well, Harley, you would sometimes like leave food like she wouldn't like if she didn't go for a walk or whatever for whatever reason because of weather or whatever, she would
yeah.
not eat. Like she'd know not to eat. But now that we're feeding her less, she just gulks. I mean, she just gorts it. Like you put the plate down and boom, it's gone. You know.
Yeah, that's how Mabel eats. She's just bam, it's gone.
Yeah.
But yeah, so anyway, Dusty, his other thing is, he'll start working with his front paws, on top of you, or especially on blankets. It's
Yeah.
a common joke in our house that Dusty's his sexual preference is a fluffy blanket, because he'll get going with the front paws and then his hips will start to move, and like if you don't stop him, like his little tiny red wiener will come out and he'll just keep going, eventually he'll start like twitching. It's like, what the hell is wrong with you, man? So there's some blankets in the house that he particularly is into.
Wow.
But I try not to let him go at it,
It's
because
pro it's
I don't know, it
probably
just seems weird to me.
it's probably 'cause he watches you do it, so he's
Hey,
like he likes learning.
I mean, there's some sexy blankets around here. Oh, I see what you mean.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's another aspect of life with
He's
pets.
learning.
He's a weirdo. He's just so carnal, It's just he's all about eating, sleeping, and
Humping blankets.
humping blankets or his parents, or
Jeez.
he's a weirdo.
He's perfectly healthy, and you're like relieved, but at the same time, you're like, okay, we have a psychotic cat.
Yeah, and he's so expensive. Like the test, I mean, because he's already on special food. Because he used to have this issue, like a urinary issue,
Yeah.
where he was peeing all the time, all over the place, and there was blood in his pee.
Yeah.
And so he's on special urinary food that's like we get every 3 week, like a case of cans,
Yeah.
and then he's on a pill that he takes every day.
But other than that, he's perfectly healthy, huh?
I mean, he's in good shape. He's going to be 13 and he's in good
Yeah.
shape and stuff, but we probably won't. The whole reason we have a cat is because Kara's brother got him and then couldn't keep him because he was at the age where he was still moving around a lot, like before he was married and everything. And so that he ended up at Kara's parents' house. Well, Kara's mom would feed him whenever he was looking for food, and she felt like she didn't want to disturb him if she got on her lap. So, long story short, she was driving him crazy, or he
Yeah.
was driving her crazy. So Kara volunteered to take him in, basically, and but she's kind of allergic to cats. My wife is, so we probably won't get another cat after Dusty's time is done. But all that said, he is my little buddy, Mr. D, we call him.
Yeah.
What can you
Mr.
do?
What?
Mr. D. D for
Oh, for
Dusty.
Dick.
Yeah, for Dick. Mr. A we, for asshole. No. I got a soft spot for him, but I do for animals in general, but
Yeah.
he's
Every
quite a
animal's
character.
unique, so
Yeah.
those are
They all
some
have their very
things.
unique personalities, that's for sure.
I'm gonna fuck this blanket. I'll fuck it good.
Get down, get down.
Get down on it.
But
Play some music and set the mood.
yeah, just close the door and kiss that blanket goodbye.
Yeah. Well, you want to get started so we could talk about what we normally talk about and then get our guest online.
Sounds good.
All right. I'll kick this one off.
Sounds good.
I recently bought Iron Man number one. So I did what a non-collector would do, and instead of reading a digital copy or whatever, I read my paper copy of Iron Man number one.
Like
And
the Iron Man number one,
the
the
Iron Man number one.
first the first Iron Man number one.
It's the first Iron Man self-titled number one. It's not Tales from Suspense.
Yeah, not his
It's
first
Iron Man.
appearance,
Yeah,
but
first
yeah.
appearance. However, this did
That's
have a
still a big deal, though.
four page backup that did retell the origin. And this was a weird Marvel book, at least for me, because I've read like a lot of the number ones, like Fantastic Four, Avengers. I even read Iron Man's first appearance because I used to have the first trade I owned was like a collected edition of stuff when trades weren't even popular, but it was called Son of Origins or something like that. And it was a Stan Lee book that had like the first appearances of some of the key Marvel characters, and Iron Man was one of them. So I had read the Tales of Suspense story before. Never read this issue before. It starts off like in the middle of the story, like it continued right out of Tales of Suspense, because you don't even get set up like why he's in this situation. And during
Yeah,
this
that's
time, they would, I kept on waiting for it. Like sometimes they throw you into the story and then say, here's how we got here, you
right.
know? But they
Yeah.
really didn't do that. And it's kind of like an Iron Man versus AIM in this story. And he seems to get his like butt kicked, and it has to do with a boat, and it has a shield agent on there that they feature a lot, Sitwell. I think he might even be in the movies. He's like a
Yeah.
popular shield agent.
I think he's at least on Agents of Shield, or if that name sounds familiar.
Yeah, and I'm not a huge Iron Man. Early Iron Man, like I got into Iron Man when Bob Layton and Mick Goleeny were doing it, so maybe around the 60-cent time frame. This is a 12-cent, and I haven't read a lot of Iron Man. A matter of fact, this was me going down a rabbit hole because it was an opportunity to get a collection that was early on and good prices, and I normally wouldn't have got it because I like to focus on DC, but it was pretty good. I liked the art by Gene Colan. That was pretty cool. The story was by Stan Lee and Archie Goodwin. So Archie Goodwin did, I guess, Stan Lee might have done the plot, and then Archie Goodwin do the story.
Yeah,
And I think
probably.
it continued right out of Tales of Suspense. But there was this AIM scientist. If I remember his name, I'll mention it. But he invented this machine where he could like trap Iron Man in the machine and then replicate him. So he had a bunch of he replicated the armor essentially. He made like 20 armors out of the Iron Man armor and then gave it to his AIM agents, and they just fucked it up left and right. Like they didn't know how to deal with the armor. They were like flying into walls and blasting things and falling backwards because the repulsor ray would knock them on their ass. It wasn't doing good, and he was very frustrated. So he like shot a cannon at him to blow up the whole ship and stuff like that. And Iron Man eventually escaped, and the whole ship blew up. And that's how it ended. It was a very weird ending. And then it jumped into the four page origin story. And the one thing I found interesting in the origin story was a reference. In this origin story, Yinsel, the scientist that helped him build the armor, they put on the armor, and it had a little asterisk there referring to his original appearance. And it says, for a more appealing appearance of the armor was gold coated. Tales of Suspense number 40. So it's the same origin story, but in here the armor's gray, and they're saying, if you want a more appealing armor, Go look at the gold coloring in Tales of Suspense number 40. I thought that was pretty interesting. And I'm pretty sure this did continue after Tales of Suspense, because our previous guest John sent me, "Oh, if you want to know how you got here, read this and this." And I said, "Well, I'll have to buy those issues," and because I don't read digital, so I know how I can get the rest of the story, but it wasn't that great that I'd want to. Yeah, if it was like a DC character, I definitely would. But it was cool, but it was a weird story because it didn't really tell you a lot about Tony at all. It didn't really even tell you about Iron Man very much or his power set. It kind of just threw you into this arc where he was getting his butt kicked by AIM, and then also had him. Wow, Harley's running around like a crazy dog out there. I wonder what's going on. But good, that's good for her to exercise. She's 'cause she's a couch potato, man. Like she'll come right in right now and go to take a nap.
We've actually been having trouble getting Mabel to go for walks lately. She was obsessed with the backyard and wants to go back there a lot, and so we're actually thinking about putting up a
Oh
fence
yeah.
this year.
But she doesn't like the walk? That's weird.
Well, she, like, when we first got her, she
Or
was
unless she
kind of
gets stressed out
hesitant.
because of the situation.
And then we got her going good for a while there, and then we had a real stretch of really brutal cold, and we'd take her in the backyard instead of a walk for a couple of days, and then I don't know, she's been, and then she had a like incident right around the same time where on a walk where there was a really super loud noise that freaked her out, and since then she's just been kind of inconsistent. Sometimes in the morning when it's quiet out, she goes around the block, and it's just been kind of inconsistent, so we kind of have to work on it again. But we're also thinking about doing the fence so she has a place to run around and act crazy too. So anyways, I think that a lot of those, I haven't gotten up to the transition and reading the Marvel back stuff, but my understanding is that when they dropped a lot of those anthology books and
Yeah,
just
Astonish and
transitioned,
Suspense. Yeah.
they transitioned Iron Man and Thor and Captain America and stuff to their own titles. They just kind of, it was just 1 month it was this, and then the next it was that, and then they just kept the story going from one to the other.
Yeah.
It's funny though, because people talk about, oh, it's whether it's a good number one or not, and as if in the past they were always good about that, but even back then.
Even back then, it was this was a number one. It was a hot mess for a number one. It really was. Like if you look at what you're looking for to learn in a number one, this was really jarring. If it felt like an issue five or something, you know what I mean? Like you've been with this character for a while, and now you're in here. And I guess back then they just assumed, it was just continued, you know. If you were reading Iron Man and Tales of Suspense, you're going to read him now. So it's not always a jumping on point,
No.
even in the 60s.
It was unusual for them to launch new titles too.
Because DC was publishing them, or her publisher.
For a while they couldn't, They didn't have the option, even if they wanted to. But that's interesting. Interesting. So was it just an individual purchase there, or was it, did you
Oh
get a
no,
bunch of their
I
Marvel
bought
stuff?
Iron Man 1 through 30 pretty much.
Oh, okay.
There's a few I'm missing, like 11, and one other one was Submariner on the cover, but I bought one by itself. I bought one with issue 55 or whatever the first appearance of Thanos was.
Oh, okay.
It was Thanos and Drax and a whole bunch of other appearances. It's like a huge book. So I bought that one and this one because I knew those would get sold as quickly as possible, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
So
Thanos.
I was like, I'm gonna jump on those. And then over the course of the last 2 weeks, I've gotten, I filled in most of the issues 2 through 30, and I had like 5 already, So yeah, I'm missing like 2 and or 3, and then I have the full run of 1 through 30.
Nice.
I'm really curious more to read number 2 because now that this story ended, this story feels like it ended something like this was the final chapter in Tales of Suspense. So I'm really curious to read number 2 to see if that feels more like a number 1.
Yeah, it's even kind of funnier. If
Yeah.
that's if it ends a story instead of just continuing one, it's why don't they, it just makes you wonder why they didn't just do another issue of Tales of Suspense. But funny. Anything more on that?
No.
Okay.
That's pretty much it. I was kind of disappointed in it for being a number one Marvel.
Yeah.
But I like the artwork, and it was a weird story because it seems like he didn't do much except get his butt kicked the whole time
Yeah.
by AIM. It was, and then it Sitwell. Oh man, what is Madame Mask's name? Do you remember her name? I think she appears in here as a regular being before her face gets jacked up.
Oh, yeah, I
And
don't re remember.
that this is the interesting part of the story. Sitwell actually rescues her, but she's like trying to hook up with Tony Stark for like espionage, like to do something, and then she ends up like just using Jason Sitwell to go through the espionage plan she has. So yeah, that was the interesting part of the story. The part I liked was the shield stuff and not the Iron Man stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's funny.
So what do you got?
Right, I'll do the my longest story is the first one. This is The Brave and the Bold presents Metal Men and the Atom. It's actually
That's so
issue
weird.
55 from 1964.
Yeah, I just bought this one.
Oh,
That's so
really?
weird. Yeah,
I
I haven't
have
read it, but
a psychic link, unconscious psychic link going
yeah.
on. What's interesting about this issue is that, well, I didn't buy it. I'm reading it out of the Metal Men Showcase.
Yeah.
And
I love the showcases, how they do that, though. It makes me feel like I missed out on buying all the showcases because my mind got over the black and white.
yeah.
But I just love how they do it, like in the order. Do you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
Like
Yeah.
it's like it really is like a Metal Men book that you could read every issue if you want.
Right. Yeah. I like that they include these other
Oh, I
appearances,
love it.
characters. Yeah. That's, I definitely appreciate that. Because other than that, I mean, this volume has their first four appearances were in Showcase. And
Yeah.
then they got their own title. So it includes the first 15 issues of Metal Men. But Brave and the Bold 55 came out between Metal Men issues 10 and 11, and the cre it's interesting because it's a different creative team. The creative team on the Metal Men series at the time was Robert Kanigher, Ross Andrew, and Mike Esposito. But this issue is actually done by Ramona Freyden and
I
with
love
ink,
that woman.
yeah. Inks by Charles Paris,
You
who's
got to
not.
see her, didn't you?
Yeah, I saw her at
Yeah.
Baltimore Con, yeah.
Baltimore, yeah.
So yeah, it's one of the reasons I kind of picked this one out because I saw that she worked on it. And what's interesting is they're actually the writers also. It's written by the art team, Ramona Freyden and Charles Paris. And I don't know Charles Paris. Is that a name that's familiar to you?
No.
No, yeah, me neither. But Ramona Freyden, of course, is a name that we know. And yeah, this is a pretty cool story. The story starts out with the Metal Men and Doc Magnus are entertaining some orphans outside their orphanage. the it's kind of like a makeshift amusement park that the Metal Men are creating. For example, lead and mercury are together creating a makeshift strength test, like at the amusement park where you walk, test your might, and you could try to hit the pad with the mallet and ring the bell. And
Ever done
so,
that?
probably not anytime recently. I don't
Yeah, just
think I
once
ever
for me.
did
I
any did
sucked.
very
I
well.
sucked ass.
I've never had much in the way of upper body strength. I've never done weight training or anything like that. My legs have always been a lot stronger than my arms from just from running around and
For standing all day.
standing all day nowadays. So yeah, so like mercury is the thing that shoots up, and lead is actually standing there, and his chin is getting hit by mercury when the kids hit the pad. And gold is shaped into a car that the kids are driving around on a track and all of that. And when this is over with, they go back to the lab, and a sequence of events starts to happen that is really strange and mysterious. First starts out with Platinum. She gets kind of dizzy near an electrical generator and falls into it and is completely disintegrated. And so Magnus and the other robots, they try to put her back together. And while that's going on, Iron is kind of near a magnetic force field, and just after he says he's being careful, he topples over backwards into it, and that destroys him. So a third accident happens after they've got Platinum and Iron on slabs. Having put them back together, Gold trips over backwards into a vat of hydrochloric acid and nitric and hydrochloric acid. And so he's dissolved by that. And so at this point, Magnus doesn't want to take any more risks. He puts tin, mercury, and lead in a temperature controlled chamber. But all of a sudden, mercury. I mean, he is known to be the sort of hot-headed member of the group because of his properties. He gets all upset with Tin, and he turns the temperature control down to absolute zero. And then, as a result of that, because he's mercury and he's affected by the temperature, he actually shrinks down just like mercury in a thermometer. Disappear to indicate the temperature. And it's like, why did he do that to himself? But Tin does the opposite and turns the heat up to the point that he melts. And so Lead, who has a higher melting point, is the only one left. Magnus comes in, and Lead describes what happens. Lead is one of his properties is that he's a big, like, slow oaf. He's kind of dumb. He feels bad about what happened, but he was too slow to stop them from doing anything. And so Magnus tries to theorize why all of his metal men are falling to their own weaknesses. And the first chapter of the story ends as Lead stretches himself past his elastic ability, trying to reach up on a shelf to get down some little figures, statuettes of the Metal Men that they made to give Doc as a present at some point, and he stretches to his limit and shatters. So the story, or the chapter, ends with two metal men look like looking figures in shadow standing before a shelf of a bunch of atomic structures, kind of that are labeled with the different elements of the metal men that just got destroyed. So the second chapter is where the Atom comes in, and Doc is feeling pretty distraught. He's sitting there with holding the statuettes of the metal men when the pair that we saw at the end of the previous chapter shows up. And it turns out to be Uranium, an evil metal man that the Doc apparently created in the past, and his girlfriend Agantha, who is got the AG atomic symbol or periodic table symbol for silver, so she's actually made out of silver. And so yeah, we get a flashback that is not a flashback to I kind of looked up afterwards to find out this is the first appearance of Uranium and Agantha. They just sort of retconned them into the past that Uranium was his first creation, that he created to with the nucleus of the atomic bomb. But Uranium turned out to be dangerous, as you might expect, and Doc decided to destroy him, and he melted him back down. But apparently, what
What did
that
he
he,
do with the responsometer, though?
I don't know. Maybe that's
Because
what
that's what
caused the
makes him
problem,
alive, right?
right? Yeah, that's what might have caused the problem because he sent his they don't talk specific about the response meter, but he tells Magnus that when he sent the remains to an atomic test to be used in an atomic test, he says, "And I guess something you put in me deep inside still fought for just survival because the atomic blast recreated me and its fiery heart made me whole again." So since then, he's been working to prove that he's better than the other metal men that the doctor went on to create. And he actually created Agantha himself, who is like Platinum is with Doc Madness, just kind of obsessed with uranium. So the two of them force Doc Magnus to start working on a machine that they have plans for. And so while he's doing that, he figures out a way to use a laser to send out a message. And that's where Ray Palmer comes into the story because he picks up on his photon condenser in his lab that the laser signal and converts them into electronic impulses, decodes it as a Mayday from Doc Magnus. So he heads off as the Atom and appears later on there in a miniaturized form to Doc Magnus at night. And they work out a plan to try to solve the situation. So the Atom heads over to the lab that we saw at the end of first chapter that Uranium and Agantha were in. And he takes a closer look at those models and finds out that what caused the metal men to act strangely before was that Uranium built models of each of their elements, but then scrambled something or took something out. The example that they give is that iron has some of its electrons out of orbit and pushed into the nucleus. So, and then he used this long-range laser gun and fired that screwed up element into the metal man, and that's what caused him to act oddly. So while Doc Magnus is still stalling for time and helping out on the machine that they're giant to build. The Atom goes to work, and he actually fires himself into each of the screwed up elements, and then unscrambles the atomic substructures. And so one after another, he does that and fires the corrected element back into, or he, by doing that, yeah, he fires it back into the remains of each of the destroyed metal men, and one by one, he brings them all back. Just in time, because the machine that they've been working on is completed, and it's a machine that can, they call it an ionizer. It's able to just zap straight through solid steel, turn it into dust, and he wants to use this to show dominance, but there's a bit of a conflict between uranium and agantha because when it comes time to fire it on the Doc himself, he doesn't want to because he still feels some loyalty to the Doc. Really, when it comes right down to it, he wants to prove himself to the Doc, and he's got a complex because he was destroyed and rejected. But the Metal Men burst in, and the third chapter begins, which is a lot of it's taken up by a battle between the Metal Men and Uranium and Agantha. There's a kind of a neat part where Uranium sends out from himself alpha, beta, and gamma, which look like high-powered bullets. And they're actually the radioactive rays given off by uranium under fission, and but given a life force, kind of like the Metal Men have. And so they become quite a problem until Lead expands himself, because lead can be used in that way to shield uranium. So he creates a big shield to protect everybody else, and so things start to not go very well for uranium and agantha. So they take off, and to pursue them, they actually mixed lead in with mercury, so that when mercury shows up, uranium feels confident and tries to fire again with his alpha, beta, and gammas. But they actually bounce off back at him and causes him to devolve into a heap of radium. In addition to, well, they used gold as a heat coil to amalgamate mercury with lead. And so he basically radioactively disintegrated himself when he shot the alpha, beta, and gammas at mercury. And so mercury heads off to the recovery room to get to distill lead out of his system. I'm going. I can't wait to get that dumb oaf out of my system. And the last page is just a celebratory hooray for the Atom. They thank him for his help. But yeah, I thought it was a f entertaining little story. Lots of science in there, and I like how they played around with the different Metal Men's elements and brought in uranium. Him and Agantha, I guess. This is their only appearance, but I think he actually makes for a pretty good foe of theirs. It's actually the story that the cover of the showcase takes its cover from. And I also thought that the Atom, while at first might seem like a little bit of a strange choice for a team up, actually makes a lot of sense when you think about like the science connection. So I like that that's how they brought him in with a connection to his research at Ivy University,
Yeah.
and the Ray Palmer identity. So,
He is
yeah,
a brilliant scientist. I mean, they do use him as the JLA science guy in Justice League.
right. So it's, even though there's lots of wacky stuff with him If anyone, he has a science background to come up with the solution that he comes up with, you know,
Yeah.
to recreate the Metal Men. So it was a fun, entertaining story, and good art. So definitely didn't seem like it lacked in the story department, being written by the artists, who I don't know that Ramona Fraiden wrote a lot, really, that I know of. So
Sounds like a good one.
yeah.
My next choice is Deathstroke. Well, actually, it's not Deathstroke. It's New Titans, a number 70, and it's a Deathstroke issue. So, the reason I pick this is because I have the singles. I have all his full run, but I also bought the trade, and in the trade, it has Deathstroke the Terminator 1 through 9 and New Titans number 70.
Okay.
And man, I don't remember reading New Titans number 70, even though I have it that I had read it a long time ago. I don't remember not one thing about it. It wasn't very memorable to me. But and it's probably not memorable to me now, but this is Marv Wolfman and Steve Irwin on pencils with Willie Bleiberg on inks. And this is a standalone Deathstroke issue in New Titans, and if it takes place in El Miguel, Central America, and he's being hired as a mercenary to protect a certain government political figure called Zactro, or Zaxtro. It's a strange name. Doesn't sound Central American to me, but I don't know very many people from Central America. It just sounds unusual to me. So they're actually paying him, and they want him to stay after he completes his first mission to protect this political prisoner and from getting killed by other people that say they want to overthrow the government. So he believes them up to a certain point, and then there's a lot of political intrigue because he doesn't know who's telling the truth. When he actually captures the other side, they're like, you know, we're not trying to kill Zaxtro. He is our hero and our leader, and he basically could check the pulse. He like takes his glove off and checks the pulse of the guy that's hanging upside down, and he's saying, wow, this guy's telling the truth. Somebody else is lying to me. So he goes down the list of people that hired him and finds out a lot of them are telling the truth. Meanwhile, Wintergreen is trying to get some pussy, and he's trying to get laid. I don't know why they have that in the story. It's so weird. It is so weird. But
What's he doing? Just going
no,
out on a date or
he's
something?
well he's well while Deathstroke is out doing his mission and stuff, he's on the beach.
Oh.
Just hanging out and trying to get women.
Fun.
It opens up with an interesting thing though. Like one of the best parts of the story for me is he's like writing. Wintergreen is like writing his diary, and one of the things he says in the diary is, you know, this Deathstroke is my friend, and I was his mentor, you know, and all this stuff, and fellow soldier, and now I could be his manservant. Which is interesting because it's like somebody he learned from, you know, he's now treating like his Alfred.
Yeah.
So I thought that was pretty interesting.
I need to go to the beach and get laid.
Get laid.
It's like frustration.
It's so weird. He does get involved in some of the action, at least through comm. He's able to like tell Deathstroke like when he's trying to protect the somebody get from getting killed, that Zaxtro guy, he is doing comm saying, hey, there's like six dudes on the top of the roof that are coming after you. You know, he gives them like comm communications about what's going on. And he's able to defeat him and save that guy, and he finds out that the one guy that hired him was an arms dealer, and he was essentially selling to both sides, so he was like the bad guy. And Wintergreen actually captures him later on. But it was a pretty good story. It was a very unusual story. But I'm glad they put it in here, 'cause they probably said, "Oh, well, this happened right before his first issue and debut issue." And it was totally a standalone issue. It was a done in one story. I don't know if they did a lot of that back then, but this was definitely a done in one.
Yeah, maybe it was kind of, I don't know how long ahead of Deathstroke number one it came out, but maybe they're kind of testing the waters a little bit, or even just to get people excited about the solo book or something.
Yeah. I remember when Deathstroke number one came out, he was really popular.
Yeah. That time his profile's really raised up. Kind of more of an anti-hero than just a villain at that point.
Yeah.
But that's interesting. Everything I read this week are older DC from Showcase. The other two stories I read are shorter because they were originally one of two stories in the titles that they appeared in. So, for my next one, if you could imagine that with a simple spin of a dial, a strange dial from another dimension, you could become any number of superheroes. Yes, it's Dial H for Hero from House of Mystery, issue 156 from 1966 by Dave Wood and Jim Mooney. And this is actually the first appearance of the dial. And so the cover advertises the different superheroes that he'll turn into in this issue: Cometeer, Giant Boy, and the Mole. And so Robbie Reed is just a high school student in a place called Littleville. And I guess that's rather similar to Smallville. And he's a kid that's interested in science. He's got like a little lab set up in a hut, or I guess it could be a barn. They call it a hut, but it's a little lab space that he's got. And but his buddies come by and they want him to come with them to place called Valley Ridge so they can test out their soapbox racers. And so they're all set to they got their racers lined up on top of the hill, and they're all set to go, and there's a kaboom nearby. Sakamaji, Robbie says, for the first of many times in this issue.
I love that Sakamaji.
Exclamation, yeah. Sakamaji. I mean, you could get wasted if you took a shot every time it says Sakamaji in this issue.
Yeah.
But he says it for the first time because nearby there's this odd robot creature. It's like a half sphere on legs with metal tentacle-like appendages, and it's got a symbol on it of Thor's hammer that the boys, for whatever reason, identify as the symbol of Thunderbolt. Well, Robbie is the one that knows about it. They're a criminal organization that sells their, they're like a mercenary criminal organization. And so just as well, just as Robbie is wishing that he somehow had the power to take them on, Sakamaji, the whole ledge that they're standing on gives away as a result of the machine's destruction, and he falls down into some cavern, a cavern of some sorts.
What I want you to do, though, is when you want to cuss at work, like in a meeting, just say Sakamaji.
Yeah, I'll have to start, trying to use that in my daily life. I stub my toe, Sakamaji. So yeah, there's this glowing object in the cave, and yeah, of course it's the dial. And So he takes it back to his lab, and we've established he's a pretty bright kid, so he's trying to decipher the symbols. So it doesn't, I mean, I kind of like this detail. It doesn't actually have English letters that he's looking at. He actually deciphers the symbols on it and then gets the instruction to dial the English letters, if that made sense. So when he dials hero, of course, Sakamaji, what's happening to me? That time it even rhymes. He turns into a tall, kind of almost like Kryptonian looking fellow that's got a GB on his chest. And so just in time, he gets there's a bulletin across the radio that tells him that Flight 101 out of Littleville is having engine trouble. So he thinks of himself as Giant Boy because of the emblem on his chest, I guess. And Sakamaji, he can fly through the air like a bird. So he heads off, and as Superman has done many times, he saves the airliner from crashing. And even though the pilots, they do see a man in a costume fly underneath them. It sort of seems sort of strange that they don't think that maybe it's Superman. But having done that, Giant Boy then sees that same Thunderbolt machine attacking another company. Earlier, it was attacking a place called the Armor Chemical Company. This time, it's cr attacking the Marlboro Chemical Company. I guess they're making carcinogens to put into cigarettes. So he attacks. So Giant Boy, he goes after the Thunderbolt machine. Sakamaji, it
Is
snares
there's
him.
a there's a lot of cussing in there.
I know,
Because
yeah.
you to me, when I read Sakamaji, it's like their PC version of son of a bitch. Yeah.
If you replace it with that or motherfucker or something, he really Robbie's got a filthy mouth. But yeah, this time he curses because he gets wrapped up in one of the tentacles, but he's powerful now, so he's able to rip the tentacle right out of the machine and punch it, knocks a hole in it, gives it an uppercut, and knocks the two guys inside of it that are piloting it right out. And Robbie's friends, not knowing that it's Robbie, are nearby cheering on Giant Boy and wishing they were Giant Boy. And so two men come out of the building and thank him and everything. And one is Marlboro, the guy that owns the that company, but also there is the guy that owns the armor company that got attacked earlier. And armor seems to be in more of a dire straits financially. Marlboro can recoup the losses from the attack, but armor is having a little more difficulties. They got to get to the bottom of it because he can't deal with another attack like that. So Robbie leaves, and Sakamaji, he's himself again when he dials the letters in reverse, or O-R-E-H, just in time for supper. The next morning, there's an attack on the Valley Dam by a Thunderbolt again. So this time he dials up, and this is where he discovers that he's not going to become the same superhero each time. He thinks he's going to become Giant Boy, but he becomes a sort of translucent character that he decides to call himself Cometeer. And thankfully, this power allows him, his comet tail, to fuse the cracks in the dam that the Thunderbolt machine, which is this time is more of like a tank, is firing at the dam. And also throws them off guard because they were thinking maybe Giant Boy would appear again, but they got the Cometeer instead. But they fire on Cometeer and he's having some difficulties. Robbie's, inexperienced at this, but he uses the dial to change back to normal so that when the tank gets nearby, all they see is a kid picking some berries, and they just speed right by him. But he wants to pursue, and so lucky enough for him, when he dials again, he becomes the mole, which is the goofiest of the three. He's a character whose cowl, the top of it is a drill, and it's got a very like elongated nose, like a to sort of look like a mole. And I'm just noticing now his fingertips have little drills on them too. So he uses those drills to dig through the earth, following along below the tank, and discovers a secret hideout. Well, the surprise of the story is revealed as it turns out that the individual that's been hiring Thunderbolt and their leader, Mr. Thunder, a guy who wears, well, him and the other Thunderbolts, they wear like this peaked hood. They almost look like wizards. They have thunder symbols on their, or lightning symbols rather, on their shirts. Well, it turns out that Mr. Marlboro is the one who hired them, and he was actually hired them to knock Mr. Armor's business out of commission because they're competitors. And the attack on Marlboro's facility was just to cover up that fact. So Robbie, as the mole, bursts into the scene, and he's able to put a stop to things, but Mr. Thunder, the leader of Thunderbolt, he actually escapes behind an electrically charged door that prevents Robbie from pursuing. And so he's captured most of the Thunderbolt gang, gives the police the information about the hideout, and puts an end to what Marlboro is up to. But he goes back home and turns back to normal and plays dumb when his grandfather tells him about the Thunderbolt gang being arrested due to the mysterious hero named the Mole. But leading into the next story, Robbie thinks to himself that he'll have to go after Mr. Thunder and pursue him, even though he won't know what kind of hero he'll turn into next. So yeah, it was a fun little story. I picked this up because I've read some of the later Dial H stuff, and I just think it's such a unique, kind of silly but also kind of fun concept with just a lot of possibility, and as we've kind of seen with the very different takes that different authors have had on it throughout the years, as I wanted to see how it kind of got kicked off and how things started out with the concept. And yeah, even on the back it says, Sakamaji, this volume collects stories from House of Mystery 156 through 173. So, Sakamaji, everybody. That's if I had to
Son of a bitch.
sum it up, my feelings about the story with just one word, it would be Sakamaji.
Sakamaji. I would always like if
Son of a bitch.
I dialed and I was disappointed with what happened. I think I would redial.
Yeah, let's do it
Can I
again.
redial?
I don't know what the rules are about that. I don't know if there's a time limit on it. I don't establish that in this
I don't
issue,
think
but
they
maybe
do.
they
I don't
have
think they
later.
establish it in the early issues, like in the Silver Age. I think they do in the Will Pfeiffer one, which
Yeah,
was
it is.
90s, and then they had the one in the New 52, which is I don't remember them even dealing with it. That one was my least favorite, the one that
The
they
new
did in the
52.
52, yeah. I haven't even finished it yet, but I gotta get around to it at some point.
I liked it. I thought it was very weird, but I kind of the guy that wrote it, I haven't read his novels, but I know of his novels and kind of what they're like, that they're very,
Yeah.
very strange. So I knew going into it would be very
What you're
strange,
getting.
but
Yeah, my favorite is the 90s version, Dial H or whatever it was called. I think it was Dial H.
the Will Pfeiffer one,
Yeah.
I think it was just called Hero,
Oh,
wasn't it?
that's right. With dashes in there, Hero. Yeah.
Yeah, like
That was a
acronym or
real good
something.
one.
Yeah.
So my last book was a book that I picked because it turned me into the collector I am in today. Without this, I probably wouldn't have been as compulsive of completing collections or anything. I probably would have been a billionaire. I
Had a lot of savings.
have a lot of saved. But it's Champions number one. This was the first series that I ever went and bought back issues of and completed it.
Oh, that's
And from
cool.
that point, it kind of developed a completist thing in me where I wanted, if I bought one issue, I wanted to buy all the rest. And what I really liked about this when I was younger, I remember it came from a bookstore. It was Don's Paperback Books. It was the first comic store I've ever been into. And they had like new comics. Like that's where I like got my first independent stuff, like Judge Dredd and a couple of other things. But I also saw these back issues, and there were like things I never even heard of. Like I was like, "What is this? The Champions?" And I always like navigated towards books that I never heard of. Like, wow, who are these guys? Like I knew of Iceman and Angel. I barely knew about Ghost Rider and Hercules and the Black Widow at that time. And I picked it. I said, "Oh, that's an awesome cover. I'm gonna get it." So this is by Tony Isabella with art by Don Heck. A very iconic cover, and it's such a odd team. And it's an odd team. I also navigated towards the Defenders, which was the longest running book that I completed a long, 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 long time ago. But this was a short run book. It didn't last more than 17 issues, and it opens up at a college like UCLA. I think that actually is it. And it's Bobby and Warren just talking, you know. They're like, this college, Warren's telling him, "Man, I want to go back to the X-Men. I know we're supposed to be here to get an education and all, and on scholarship. That's great, but I want to go back to the X-Men." And Bobby's like, "Yeah, I feel the same way you do." He says, "Maybe we should go to the Avengers because Hank is hitting it big time over there, because that's when the Beast was a member of the Avengers." And then all of a sudden, all these harpies just come out, like a portal opens and these harpies come out, and Iceman and Angel are fighting these harpies right on the UCLA campus. And then the scene cuts to Black Widow. She's actually looking out the window and she sees the fight, but she doesn't seem to want to get involved, but she's there to get an interview as a job applicant to teach Russian. So she's there to get a job there. She just must have just broke up with Daredevil, and she's got this assistant. I think his name is Ivan. Yeah, his name is Ivan, who I don't remember for the life of me. But it looks like he's wearing like a chauffeur outfit or something. And they get attacked because the porthole opens, and a bunch of Amazon women just rush out with swords and they start fighting Black Widow and Ivan. Ivan goes to protect Black Widow but gets knocked out. And then Black Widow's using her venom blasts, her widow's bite, to defend him. And this also features Venus, which is kind of interesting because Venus is like a Golden Age character. And I don't know if this if she's a I don't know how popular she was in this time. This is Bronze Age to me. 25 cents is Bronze Age to me.
Mm-hmm.
But Venus is there, and she just wants to introduce herself to Natasha, so she gets involved. And then Ghost Rider just happens to be cruising through the campus, and all hell breaks loose there when when this big giant demon, like Kirby-esque demon, shows up and calls himself Cerberus or something like that. And he actually starts, he gives him his hellfire and starts fighting him.
How's
And
that
then
spelled? The demon's name, how's that spelled?
Cerberus, Cerberus.
It's Cerebus. It's like I
But
think it's
doesn't Cerberus have a vowel between the R and the B?
Yeah, usually it's Cerebus.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like a takeoff on that
This is
name or
like
something.
Cerberus, or I don't know.
Cerberus,
I
yeah.
guess he's made an
Cerebus,
appearance before.
Cerberus.
Like
Oh, okay.
he's been in the comics before. And then Hercules is gonna do a he he's gonna do a he's a speaker in mythology at this university, so that's how he gets involved, is he's getting ready to do his speech, and he gets attacked by these mutates, and he ends up fighting the mutates. So they're all at the campus and fighting the harpies, the Amazons, the mutates. They're called the Mutates Unleashed, Cerberus, and a couple of other like Greek mythology creatures. And what you end up finding is that it is Pluto. So he's the villain, and he's basically coming to Venus and Hercules because he's like, okay, if you don't agree to these marriages, Hercules, you're going to marry Hippolyta, like I guess Wonder Woman's mom, Hippolyta, and Ares, you're going to marry Venus. And if you don't agree to this, we're going to take over the world. The universe, actually, he doesn't say take over the world. He says the universe. If you guys don't agree to this marriage, the universe dies. And that's how issue one ends. And it's Whom the Gods Have Joined Together. I really liked it. Such an oddball group of characters. I mean, the only two that are buddies really are Iceman and Angel, because they were core X-Men.
Right. Yeah, they really had to work to kind of figure out how we can bring these characters together.
Yeah.
Just like the Defenders, like how do we get all these characters in the same place?
Yeah, they didn't even like each other in the Defenders.
Yeah.
They were just thrown together. But yeah, I absolutely love Hercules. Like he's one of my favorite all-time characters. So it was cool, 'cause man, I don't remember Venus being a part of this book. And she's not even listed like at the top. It says Hercules, Black Widow, Angel, Ghost Rider, Iceman. But
Yeah.
Venus is part of this book just as the other characters are. She's actually trying to get married here, or going to be forced to be married. So yeah,
Interesting.
it was a great reread, and this is the book I think that made me become a collector, not just a reader, but a collector.
Yeah. Interesting. I wonder. I'd have to think about that for a while. I know I never completed any runs when I was a kid.
But Flash, I would say for you.
Yeah. Yeah, probably. All right, well, my last one is an issue of Superman, but I'm actually reading it in the first Legion of Superheroes showcase. It's Superman issue 141 from 1961, written by Jerry Siegel with pencils by Kurt Swan and inks by Sheldon Moldoff. So all very familiar names to DC Comics fans, or at least fans of DC Comics history. And I thought this one was neat because the cover is a take on Adventure Comics 247, which, let's see, yeah, it's only been, that came out in 1958, so it's only been a few years. And that famous cover, of course, is the one where Superboy is being voted no for, is being rejected by the three original Legionnaires for membership in their superhero club. Well, on this one, Superman is being voted to die by Cosmic King, Lightning Lord, and Saturn Queen, who look like older versions of the Legionnaires.
I think Lightning Lord is at least the brother, the older brother, Lightning Lad.
Yeah, that's what they state in here, and I guess they kept that part of it,
Yeah.
with that particular character. I don't know.
What's the other one? Saturn Queen and who?
Cosmic King.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I don't know if those characters were used in the same way later on, but well, the story actually starts out with Lex Luthor, actually. He's in Metropolis Prison, and fortunately for him, the warden there is not too bright, because when he asks the warden if he can help out by repairing the broken radios of other convicts, the warden says, "Splendid." So he allows a scientific genius to play around with radio parts. And Luther, over time, he takes a little piece here and a little piece there, and eventually is able to create a device in his cell that allows him to communicate with the future. So pretty fantastic there. Calling the future, arch criminal Luther from the year 1961, calling the Legion of Supervillains in the future. Am imprisoned. Need help. Save me. And this is kind of based off conjecture of his own, that if there is a Legion of Superheroes in the future, then a Legion of Supervillains probably exists as well. And he is correct in that assumption, because the next morning, on the floor of his cell are a ray gun, an anti-gravity belt, and a helmet with some strange antennae sticking out of it. So, and he gets here's a message: "We heard your summons. Use these objects to escape, Luther. We'll join you soon in your own time." So he does just that. He blasts out with the ray gun, uses the anti-grav belt to fly, and that strange helmet turns out to create a force field, which causes the guards, bullets to bounce off. He's flying through the sky, and a flying saucer of sorts picks him up, where and he gets to meet the characters, the Legion of Supervillains, on their, as they're calling themselves, on the cover. So rather kind of awkwardly, each one of them in turn takes a opportunity to introduce themselves to Luther and tell them how they got their powers. Cosmic King, he was an alchemist on the planet Venus, and he was trying to discover a ray that would change any object's atomic structure, when he stumbled into he created, and it turns out that it gave him the powers to shoot rays in from his eyes that would change the atomic structure of things. So, but the v other Venusians considered his new abilities evil, and so he was exiled from the planet, and he went to Earth, where he joined the Legion of Supervillains and became a super criminal. So then Lightning Lord goes on to talk about how he and his brother, Lightning Man, formerly Lightning Lad, on the planet of Korbol, got attacked by a monster that zapped them and gave them their lightning powers. And whereas his brother decided to be a good guy, he decided to use his power to commit crimes. And then finally, Saturn Queen. She's obviously from Saturn and more in line with the way that a lot of the Legionnaires just have their powers naturally. People from her planet, have the mental abilities, and she just decided to travel to Earth. And once she was, this is kind of key for the rest of the story, once she was on Earth, she felt the desire to become a criminal and joined the Legion of Supervillains. So once they've gone through all of that, they play right into Luther's own desires, and that they want to go after Superman as well, because in their future he's such an inspiration to the Legion. They know that it would be quite discouraging if they would be able to destroy Superman. So we see Superman for the first time then in the next panel, and as Superman is wont to do, he's flying in some buildings to his pet project, a place called Orphan City, where he's building the world's most beautiful orphanage. I think that's actually a direct inspiration to the new Batman vs Superman film. I believe Orphan City is going to be in that. Anyways, so unfortunately for the orphans, Lightning Lord flies in and starts destroying stuff with his lightning bolts. And Cosmic King threatens to electrocute all the children who have rushed to the nearby bus if Superman doesn't retreat. So he has no choice. He has to obey. The next day, Superman's handing out plastic gliders to a crowd of children when Cosmic King shows up and turns all of the plastic gliders into gold, and that sort of brings out the innate greed of the nearby adults who swarm the children and are fighting for the gold gliders for their value. But before Superman can put a stop to all that, Cosmic King takes a nearby Superman statue, turns it into kryptonite, and it topples it over on top of Superman, and Superman has to actually get bystanders to drag him away from the kryptonite statue. And so one final attack happens when Superman's on patrol, and there's a crazy monster stalking the streets of Metropolis. It's actually got Lois, who's trying to photograph it. And once it has her, takes off into space with Lois in a bubble on top of it. It turns out to actually be a machine, and it's actually a turns out to actually be an illusion, Lois included. It was all a ploy to draw Superman to the base where the Legion are. Legion of Supervillains are headquartered, and that was all an illusion created by Saturn Queen. And so then we get this scene from the cover where, for no apparent reason, the three of them sit down at the desk and all vote that Superman be executed as punishment for his many brave and worthy deeds. And Luther shows up, and Superman finds out that he's a part of it too. Thankfully for Superman's sake, the Legion of Superheroes appear, and they are adult as adults. Lightning Man and Lightning Lord go right at it, firing electrical bolts back and forth at each other, where Cosmic Man throws a large metal machine at Cosmic King, knocks him out, and while Saturn Queen, but well, Cosmic King's able to use his power transmutation to destroy the metal machine that before it gets to him, and Saturn Queen gets to Saturn Woman and causes her to surrender as well. So Luther suggests if the Legion are all so super heroic, then why doesn't one of them volunteer to die in Superman's place? And the rest of the Legion villains are just kind of laughing off the idea. They say they're heroes, but they'd never actually go so far as to sacrifice themselves. But we're not surprised to see that the Legionnaires are actually have to draw straws to see who has the honor of dying in Superman's place. And of course, Superman's not going to let Saturn Woman die for him. While the villains are actually a little surprised and impressed in the background. And so Superman asks Luther one final favor before Saturn Woman's killed, one last super feat in her honor. And he's like, the villains are like, you're just trying to trick us. And he says, I promise I'm not going to save her. And Luther says, I know he'll keep his word. Superman never tells a lie and all that. So Superman's allowed to fly off. And lest you think you're reading a modern story, he flies to Saturn and constructs a giant shovel. They don't really go into detail how he constructs this giant shovel, but he's Superman. And with this giant shovel, he scoops up a large heaping pile of meteor fragments from the rings of Saturn. Then he flies that back to Earth and creates a ring around the Earth of those meteor fragments. Can you guess why? It asks in a panel at the bottom. And no, we can't guess why, because we don't really have that much information. But Superman goes back. He points out the ring that he's created around Earth, and Saturn Woman says, "Thank you, Superman. It reminds me of my homeworld, Saturn." Sentimental drivel. You choose to die, Saturn Woman, so I'll oblige you, says Luther. But all of a sudden, Saturn Queen, with her powers of hypnotism, commands Luther, Cosmic King, and Lightning Lord to be paralyzed. And what has caused this sudden turn in Saturn Queen? Well, in a panel that is Superman, where Superman's face is almost crowded out by the word bubble, he goes to a lengthy explanation of Saturn Queen when she stated that she didn't want to become a criminal until she arrived on Earth. He surmised that and confirmed with his supervision that the radiation from the meteors around Saturn cancels out the people of Saturn's criminals' traits. So by bringing the meteors to the planet Earth, it immediately cured Saturn Queen of her criminal tendencies. And she said, for her sake, Saturn Queen is glad that he did so, and she'll use her powers from now on for good, like Saturn Woman. And so, to help her out, Superman gives her a small meteor chunk from Saturn's rings, and if she keeps that on her at all times, she'll be good all the time. Superman also didn't lie because he didn't save Saturn Woman. It was he caused Saturn Queen to do so. So the Legion of Superheroes take the supervillains back to their era and their time machine, and Superman flies Luthor back to his jail cell. And last panel, we see that Luthor is trying, has actually built another device to contact the future, but he gets a response from Lightning Man, not Lightning Lord, and tells him not to waste his time because the Legion of Superheroes are in jail just like him. Bah, Luthor says. So, kind of a amusing little story. It's always funny, in these early stories when Superman interacts with the Legion that, they're not really like thinking through the whole time travel thing that, if Superboy encounters the Legion, then their kids like him. And then if Superman encounters the Legion, they come back as adults. But it's time travel, so they really could come back as kids or at any age because they're coming back in time, But they're just like doing the one-to-one equivalent of Superboy to kids to Superman to adults. So, but it is kind of fun to see the Legion as adults. Typical, just kind of crazy, back in the days with Superman, just had no limit on what he could do. And there's problems with that, but also I think makes for really, for me, it
Bizarre
makes for,
stories.
yeah, just bizarre, entertaining
Bizarre but
stories.
entertaining, yeah.
Yeah.
That'll make you chuckle.
And yeah, that's my last for this time. No Kid Flash this time.
Okay. So I'm gonna introduce our guest and then call this guest. So this guest collects as many monthly titles as I do every month, every week. And also has a collection the size of mine. So I'm gonna be dialing this person up in a few
Very,
seconds.
very
I have to.
similar collection, just very like into a lot of the same things you're into.
Yeah, a lot of the same things.
A lot of DC. Just very, very, very similar collection.
That's right. So I'm gonna text them and see if they're ready. And if they are, we're gonna make the call.
The suspense is
The
just
Jeopardy. I gotta go to Skype.
hopefully their connection will be. I don't know what kind of internet they have.
That could be Bill Bohmer connection.
Yeah. The hamster wheels and string, tin
Yeah.
cans.
All right, here we go. We're gonna try. We're gonna see if this works. Hello.
Hola.
Hey.
Hola.
This hardcore collector, we were just talking about you.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah, all the comics that I have.
you have a huge collection.
I know. I'm
Very.
putting it up on eBay.
So Barb is, she lives in the Comic Book Museum of Colorado.
That's right.
But feels like definitely.
And do you just randomly encounter comic books where you don't expect them to be?
I just expect them to be everywhere, so
That's true, I
no.
guess. Yeah, I guess that's a fault in my question.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I don't expect to not see them anywhere.
We also share a common thread because we both don't read digital comics.
That's true.
Well, I was actually reading.
Yeah, you all actually did, and then you stopped
I
because
know,
it was
but
digital. You're like, what is this shit?
no, because
Yes, the
I'm
digital.
not my nook anymore. So there.
Like Mike said, no wife of mine is gonna read digital.
I'd try to get him to do it.
Yeah.
That's not gonna happen. Or at least
Yeah, a lot easier to store.
So if you haven't guessed by now, we share the same bed.
Ew. You're my.
That's an interesting way to express that she's your wife.
Sakamaji.
Sakamaji.
Yeah.
Definitely.
So we had some questions that we want to jump off, and Kyle asked two of them. And they're kind of this is Kyle Pettit. He's asking questions, and they're kind of related to our relationship. Does Barb ever try to get you to sell some books?
Yes.
Yes.
You
Not
know, I do.
really.
Yes, when you tell me how much something is worth, I say sell it.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
But I also tell you that they're only going to go up in value, the ones that I do tell you about.
Most of the time, I don't believe you.
Yeah.
Do you ever ask him to sell something and you're really serious about
I mean, that's what it's worth, and I tell him to sell it. I'm serious.
it?
Yeah. So
That's why I don't ever tell her what it's worth. On rare occasions do I do that.
learned your lesson.
Yeah, I learned my lesson because she's sell.
Yeah, sell it.
Get
Get it out of here while you can.
it out of
it.
All
I
right. This one's an interesting question. Does Barb ever go through your stuff to find something to read?
try. Yeah, no. No, I don't. I have my own stuff to read.
Yeah, digital stuff.
Yeah, digital books.
You use a Kindle or something like that to read?
Yeah,
Yeah.
my Kindle, which he's been using too to read his comics.
Oh, so it's like
No,
a Fire or
I'm
something?
not. I had to use your Kindle to
Yeah.
read the damn
Yeah.
comics.
Right.
It's
That's what
because
I said.
my iPad is first generation and it can't read certain
Yeah, Jimmy.
things that my other podcast people are choosing for me to read that I don't own.
Yeah. Is that for the Batman
Yeah,
show?
for the Batman, Gotham by Geeks.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Barb, when you see this collection, what bothers you the most about it?
The amount of space
Yeah.
that it takes up and that they're everywhere.
I get nervous when she like I could tell when Barb gets hits her threshold because things start to move and like she'll put her cup of water or coffee on top of my books and it's kind of like telling me you get the fucking things out of the way.
If I like to have a bowl of cereal sometimes before I go to
Yeah.
work, and if there's comics in the
Yeah,
spot that I want to get,
she'll swoosh
I'll
that
just
milk right over the
move
comic books. She'll swoosh
the stacks wherever I want to and stack them on top of other stacks, and I
it.
don't care where they end up. If they're on the table, they're fair game.
She'll leave treats on the table for Harley and
Yeah,
say
jump on the table when we're gone.
I remember when you were away, Mike. I told her, Harley thought your comic shipment was for her. But well, Harley needs some comics too, Just
Yeah.
go ahead and let her check them out, see what's in there.
She likes comics. She really does. She'll sit there and put her shoulder on my,
Right.
put her head on my shoulder and read comics with me.
Put
She
your
looks,
head
she,
on
yeah,
my
she looks
shoulder.
like she's reading the comics at some
Yeah.
time. And then she falls asleep, but
Yeah.
she gets
Because they're
bored.
boring.
Yeah. He never touches his comics. It's bizarre.
But she
If
did.
I leave something out, she'll tear it apart or do something to it. His comics are everywhere, and she's never just gotten them while we're gone and just shred them.
What are some of the things she shredded that's of yours?
I had my Muppets Monopoly game. She chewed
Oh
the corner off of the game.
man.
She chewed. Oh, I was reading The Walking Dead hardcover,
Oh, yeah.
As I was reading it, she chewed that. She chewed something else of mine that was Muppet related. She's got a hold of my slippers. His slippers can be down there for days. My slippers, if I leave them, she chews them. So, yeah. Because I think she knows that I'm
What?
the head of the house and she tries to take things out on me. But his comics are everywhere and nothing.
That's funny.
That's because she loves the comics.
Yeah,
I really loves the comics.
I'm sure that's
So
it.
we get a lot of retro questions. Well, we have one other question from Brian Regate from Comics and History. He asked a question we could all participate in. He says, "Are there any restaurants, retro restaurants that have closed down that are no longer available to us?"
Well, I know when I was growing up, it was what is it, Bob's Big Boy restaurant?
Yeah, I was gonna say the same
Because
thing. I used to love.
I think they exist in some places now, or they're trying to make a comeback or something. But I haven't seen one since I was growing up in Hawaii, and I used to.
The logo is essentially a boy holding up a burger, and
Yeah.
they usually have a big iconic figure of him right in front of the restaurant.
Yeah, I see them on movies and stuff, but I don't think they had them out. They had them in the East.
Yeah,
Or if they did, it was
always.
before my time.
I loved having the hot fudge cake and like devil's food cake and ice cream and devil's food cake and ice cream and devil's food cake and then hot fudge over the whole thing. I don't remember any of the food,
Wow.
but I remember that.
Jeez.
I still love that. That was so good.
Hey, Barb, do you ever remember that ice cream place, Farrell's in Albuquerque, or what was it called?
Yeah, Farrell's.
Yeah, that was like a 50s ice cream shop.
Yeah,
I
that was.
used to like that one.
Yeah,
So
that was
I
cool.
don't think we ever went there together. I think it was
No,
already
uh-uh.
closed.
And Shakey's Pizza.
Oh, Shakey's was awesome.
That was good too.
Another place that I think closed before we were together.
Oh.
I'm having trouble thinking of any so far.
Burger
Young.
Chef and Jeff. Those closed down. I
That might
what I remember about that place is you used to be able to get superhero glasses back in the day. Like you used to get Superman, Flash, Green Lantern. Every week they had a different glass.
I don't remember that place.
Burger Chef and Jeff, I'll have to show you.
Was it just in Albuquerque?
Yeah, it was
Okay.
near
Well,
my
it must have been before I moved there.
grandma's house, near that area on Bridge, but like
Oh,
off the
okay.
bridge. Yeah,
Yeah, that was before I moved there, I guess.
I think if I showed you a picture, you'd recognize it.
Maybe. You can
I
show
feel
me
like a lot
later.
of the places I'm thinking of are still around. I don't know. I remember that we used to always go to, if it, my dad was in charge of feeding us, we'd always go to Arby's.
Yeah. Well, see,
And
you're so young that nothing's
that's still
closed since
around.
you've been alive.
Yeah, I don't
Arby's
know
is
why.
around everywhere. Yeah.
Yeah.
That they have the commercial on TV. We have the beets.
They're still going strong.
Right.
But yeah, I don't. I'll, if something comes to me, I'll mention it. But I didn't think of anyone yet.
I think I named them. Shakey's was a good one. I didn't think we'd
Yeah,
come.
it came up with a lot of them.
Yeah, well, we're old, so we've seen a lot of restaurants come and go. Yeah.
Shakey's was like a cool place to go because it was the buffet type pizza that I remember. They used to lay the pizzas out. You could order a pizza, but you could just buffet, and they had I think they made pizza, at least the crust, very much like that place that you don't like to eat at now, that we
Yeah.
get a craving for every now and then.
Right, Fargo's.
Fargo's, yeah. You don't like that place, but you get a craving for it every now and then. You don't like the cheese, right? It's
Right. It's just, well, it turns to plastic once it gets cold. You have to eat it really fast.
it turns to plastic.
It's
Gross.
like the experience of the place.
Yeah, the crust though, you know that like sandy crust or whatever it is on the bottom. That's what Shanky's used to have.
Yeah.
It's the same type of crust, very similar. Well, it's not sandy. It's like, it's
cornmeal.
Not smooth. It's cornmeal, yeah.
Oh, okay. Weird.
It feels grainy on your fingertips.
Mm-hmm. To keep it from sticking and give it some more crunch.
Yeah, there was a couple. I mean, there's a couple places I could think of that closed. There was a sub place called Dad's that isn't there anymore that we used to go to, and then there was a hot dog and hamburger type place called Ted's. That's, I think there was some kind of like crime involved that resulted in that place closing. Like the guy attacked his wife or something. But
oh my gosh,
that's some other kind of restaurant now. And yeah, places. There's some like local places like that that just don't exist anymore. I mean, there's lots of places that are still around that like chains and stuff that. None of us go to anymore. We tend to go to local restaurants instead of my parents at this time or nowadays. Mm-hmm. But when we were kids, like I said, my dad would go to, I guess when you have little kids and stuff, it's easier to go to places like that. We'd go to like Pizza Hut. I can't even remember the last time I or anybody I knew went to a Pizza Hut.
Yeah,
But I thought of it when you said the pizza buffet, because that. They would do that sometimes where they actually, which is neat because you could actually have different types of pizzas, but you have like a slice of each. But yeah.
They have Godfather's anymore, Barb? I think they do, don't they?
I think they do, yeah. They opened one up again in Albuquerque.
Yeah.
I think they had closed and then they're open now.
I got one for you, Barb. This falls under the 10, we consider everything retro for 10 years and older. But do you remember Froggy Meister's?
Oh yeah, that place was awesome.
That was like a root beer shop. It was weird. It was like a, you know how you can go to those beer pizza places like Old Chicago and stuff that have like more than 120 beers.
Mm.
Well, this one focused on root beers from around the world.
Oh, that's
about
cool.
20 root beers.
Yeah, they had all kinds, and they had root beer on tap.
Nice.
They had at least four or five on tap, which was really cool. That place didn't last much longer than when we got here.
No, and it was all crowded.
Yeah.
Packed, and they had the tables set up inside. They had some booths, but then they had like tables with the umbrellas, like outdoor furniture kind of thing inside. Mm-hmm. So it was a different kind of experience. You know, like every other table had an umbrella or something on it. And, but it was really good. The French fries were really good and the hamburgers were good. And, you know, all kinds of root beer is always good. And cream soda. I think they had a bunch of cream sodas too.
Yeah, they did.
But yeah, it didn't last long and I don't know why.
It was so cool for somebody like me who doesn't like beer, but loves root beer. Because it was exactly like what you said, Chris. You get to try things. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If you're into something, you get to try them. There were some root beers I didn't like, but a lot of them I did like.
Yeah, that's cool. I like root beer, so that sounds neat.
Yeah. It was a lot of fun.
All right. So we're going to ask some standard questions that we ask. What was your first vehicle? I know the answer to this, but...
My 69 Volkswagen Bug.
Whoa.
Stick
cool.
shift.
Love that car.
Stick shift.
Yeah.
Of
course. They're the best.
Chris loves stick shift. He's really good with it.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'm an expert.
Awesome.
No, I gave up. I can't do it.
Wow. I love the stick shift.
Yeah.
It's just so much better.
Barb even drives stick shift on the automatic because she can.
Yeah. I'm not surprised. Like people who can do it seem to love it. I just, I don't know. I learned on automatic and I I tried in college to learn, and it
But
just did not go well.
his left foot wouldn't press the clutch. He couldn't get it.
Think it's an art that's going away, because I think a lot of the younger generations, they never have to learn, so they just don't learn.
Right.
And I think it's one of those skills that it's always good. Like, you know, I want to take motorcycle lessons because, you know, I explain to Mike, what if there's a zombie apocalypse? All that's around is a motorcycle and Daryl isn't around to drive it for us. You know, it's like
Daryl could drive a motorcycle?
Oh, from Walking Dead.
Oh, I thought you meant Daryl Taylor. I'm like, I would.
That's Daryl Taylor.
If there's a zombie apocalypse and we're with Daryl Taylor, we're dead.
He's been working out, though. He's getting
know,
ready.
He gets both up and carry us at this point.
He's getting ready.
Yeah. No, but you got to know how to drive a motorcycle, right? Because what if that's the only thing that's around?
Then we'd be fine.
But he won't let me take motorcycle lessons.
Motorcycle's dangerous.
Pretty
just
dangerous.
Have no business.
Not as dangerous as zombies, but.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, what do you want to do? Motorcycle or zombies?
I'm rolling the dice, Barb, and I'm hoping that Donald Trump doesn't lead us into a zombie apocalypse.
Yeah, good luck with that.
I still think he's the Antichrist in Revelations, but
I think he's the most likely candidate we've had so far. For the Antichrist, I mean, not for president.
I agree.
Yeah, I was watching that History Channel that goes through the Book of Revelations, like pages of it, and analyzes it. And it really sounds like, you know, they say a leader is going to come into power. Hates everybody. So it's pretty crazy. But,
but that's my first car.
First car. All right. What are some of your retro music that you like? Well, first off, what did you start off with? What technology?
Technology?
Yeah, for listening to music.
Oh, it had reel to reel.
Did you really?
Yeah, because we lived in Hawaii. Well,
you've even gone beyond me with reel to reel.
Well, we lived in Hawaii, so people on the mainland would record stuff like Wolfman Jack show.
Uh huh.
Record it and then send us the reel to reel, and then we'd listen to that. But I mean,
how
we had
long did you live in Hawaii?
From when I was 3 till 11.
Whoa.
So about 8.5 years.
I wish I didn't still know anybody there. I want to live in Hawaii now.
Yeah, I know. At least go visit somebody so you don't have to pay for the hotel. That would be nice too.
Yeah. We watched some movie, I think. Was it George Clooney that was in it? Or I don't know, but everyone, like even in business meetings and stuff, they're all just wearing Hawaiian shirts and like flip-flops and stuff. I'm like, man, I need
That's
to
how
live
Luke
there.
Foster goes to work.
I know. I need to live there. just
go to Luke's job.
I almost never worshipped or anything when I was a kid. Like, you just walk to your friend's house and just barefoot all the time.
Yeah.
You didn't know what shoes were.
It's like a whole country of Luke Fosters.
Yeah, exactly. Sure, he wants to be. He wants to be in Hawaii, pretending he's Magnum PI.
His heart is in Hawaii.
Yeah. I saw them filming Magnum PI one time.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Luke's probably jealous of that.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, he's jealous.
I never watched that show.
Oh, really? I did. Just
never
I
appealed to me.
Was.
I watched more Hawaii 5-0, like the original, than I did Magnum PI.
I used to see parts of it because my dad watched it.
Mm-hmm.
So.
It was more Streets of San Francisco and Columbo for me.
Mm.
Yeah. Watch those too.
Ironside.
All of that.
So reel to reel. Okay, so what are some of the
track and albums and stuff too?
Yeah,
that's crazy though. We never I saw all the other forms, but I never saw or knew anybody with reel to reel.
Oh yeah. Yep. That's how we would listen.
Man, you're old.
Crazy.
I am old. Younger than you, though.
You're older than me.
I'm younger than you. Fun.
So what music influenced you growing up? Mostly towards the high school age.
High school age? Well, you
Yeah.
know, I listen to all that Duran Duran, Depeche Mode, all that The Cure, all that 80s stuff.
And before that,
70s stuff.
like what?
Well, you know, like more light rock stuff, kind of like Seals and Crofts and Dr. Hook.
What is that? Dr. Hook, the one that sings that horrible song I don't
Sylvia's
like,
mother. Yeah, Sylvia's mother.
the train one, which is the train, the
Oh, that's Cat Stevens.
okay, Cat Stevens, that's the one I don't like.
Oh, I like Cat Stevens.
Oh God, I don't like that one song she listens to.
Kathmandu, is that what you're talking about? By the
No,
Chapman.
the one on the train. What is it called? Get on the Soul
Train.
Train.
Heat Train. Don't like that one. I don't know why. Maybe it's just because I sing it loudly.
It's
That
what
could
you're
be it.
singing that's ruining it for
Now,
him.
isn't Jethro Tull like is a big influence on your listening?
I hate Jethro Tull.
These
My least favorite band ever.
are some strangely loaded questions. I don't know how you're coming up with these,
They're just
but you have prior knowledge of the subject.
Yeah, that's why. Yeah, that's why I have to bring that up. But yeah, no, I don't know. Just, and then my mom used to listen to a lot of like Kenny Rogers.
Oh man.
So, I love Kenny Rogers now.
We sing that out loud in the car every time it
For like
comes on. Yeah, when to
random
hold
nostalgia.
'em, know
That's
when to fold 'em, when to fold 'em.
right. Just like that.
Yeah. We heard it yesterday.
Yeah, we did. As you were listening to your country station, driving me crazy.
Don't know what's happening to
Chris, he's listening to like modern country.
Oh
This is
man.
I don't know what's happening. I blame my dad. I hung out with my dad.
Baby, my baby. Oh God, it's awful.
It's all about blue jeans and Jenkin beer. I love it.
That
Tight blue
just
jeans.
describes your life right there, blue jeans and drinking beer.
Yeah,
It
that's his life.
reminds me of Knutson getting into his blue jeans, his tight blue jeans.
Yeah, that's true. That's more of Keith's life.
I've never seen a man try to get into jeans like that. It was like that episode of Friends when Ross is trying to wear those leather pants. He starts sweating in them and they expand and or they shrink and he can't get out of them. And Joey's like, "Well, use the baby powder and put some lotion in there." That's
My
those
God.
pants.
That's crazy. I wish I was
Yeah.
there to see that.
So back in the day, we're in high school and you walk into my room for the first time. What did you think?
Well, I don't know if we want to talk about this
No.
subject.
Ears, Chris.
I know you guys, ended up married and all, but
What do you mean? What did I think?
Well, my room was pretty much you couldn't see too much white space.
No,
It
because you had all
was
the posters
ceiling, yeah.
of
The
comic books.
ceiling and every wall was covered with it.
We had sports stuff too.
Did I? What did I have that was
Well,
sports?
on your door, you had Packers stuff on your
Oh
door, and
yeah, stickers, yeah.
yeah, you had a bunch of stickers. Yeah.
I had that one door with all the Marvel stickers on it too.
Yeah, you did.
So did you, in your mind, I have never asked you, did you think, what a freak?
No, I didn't.
If it just felt natural to you that...
She already knew.
Yeah. You were a freak. Yeah, comic book stuff. You were teenagers. Like, yeah.
Yeah, but that's when that's usually when kids get out of that stuff. For the girls.
Oh, I don't know. Is that true?
I don't know. I guess that's what I hear on other podcasts.
Okay.
Looks like that's what other people seem to have done.
That's what other people seem to, the norm.
Okay.
I guess that was kind of true for me.
See, yeah. There you go.
But I was still into, I wasn't in the comics, but I was like super into to music and other stuff like that, and like
everybody
movies and
music at that time, though. Like, it's very,
yeah, that's not normal. Yeah, I mean, or that is normal, but maybe not the same kind of music, but everyone's into their type of music. And but yeah, I mean, I kind of curious, like, when did you, Barb, did you have any exposure to comics and comic fandom and stuff before Mike, or was it he kind of your introduction to that?
Well, when I was growing up, I used to watch Wonder Woman, and I watched Bionic Man, and, or $6 Million Man and Bionic Woman. And then in Hawaii, we got a lot of Japanese programs.
Oh, interesting.
On the base, so I'd watch a lot of Kamen Rider V3, which was a Japanese superhero.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if he still exists. I think he might still exist in different incarnations and stuff. But yeah, so I used to watch a lot of that kind of Incredible Hulk. Of course, there's hardly a show in the 70s that I didn't watch.
Hmm.
Have you ever seen that movie Dream On on HBO, Chris?
The show?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know how that guy, what, like, he, his whole thing was he got put in front of a TV as a kid and just watched everything?
Yeah.
That was Barb.
Oh, okay.
But I don't know, though, because it's so bizarre, because I remember always being out and playing with friends and being outside. But at the same time, there's, like I said, hardly a show from the 70s that you can name that I didn't watch.
Hmm.
And I don't understand how the two can go hand in hand, but they do.
What was your first horror movie that they took you to, and what age was it at?
Oh, I don't know what I've been going to horror movies since I was probably 5. I remember the first one, but I remember going to the theater for The Incredible Melting Man, with the guy, the astronaut who went to space and came back, and then he was like melting and trying to kill people, and skin was melting off of his face and his body. And I remember that. And then we'd go to the drive-in a lot. So I'd see like Blood Beach and Motel Hell.
Motel Hell.
Oh man, I wish that was my childhood. I'm so jealous of, like, I wish I was a teenager or something in the 70s when the drive-ins were popular and you could see movies like that at the drive-in. I'm so jealous of that. Like, I used to actually like go and look at old newspapers online and like look at the like drive-in listings and stuff like that, and like try to like track down, see if like I could find those movies on DVD or like for a stretch of time I was like pretty into movies and tracking down like 70s grindhouse movies and stuff.
Yeah,
I was like, man, I can't believe people could go to the drive-in and watch these.
Oh yeah. So, I used to do it as a kid, and then The Shining I saw in the theater when I was 10.
Wow.
And Alien, the first Alien, I remember watching on cable by myself because everybody else was gone. That was back in the days when you could be 10 years old and be at home by yourself.
It's very, but very, very different now than when we walk into Deadpool and you're saying, what are these parents doing bringing their kids to this rated R filth?
Yeah, but everybody was gone, and I was flipping through the channels, you know, with the old style cable box with the little tiers and the buttons, and like, oh, Alien, I'm going to watch this. So I sat there and watched it by myself when I was about 10. Huh. And it was fine. You know, I survived just fine.
yeah, I mean, the reality of the situation is, though, if I grew up and still had the same temperament, then I wouldn't have wanted to watch any of that stuff because I was a real anxious kid and I
Oh.
didn't get into horror movies until I was an adult and like could separate it from reality because when I was a kid I like was super afraid of stuff,
Yeah. Yeah,
so I
and you
wouldn't
wouldn't
have
have been.
actually so, no,
Yeah.
so
Yeah,
I would
it would have
actually
been.
have to have grown up then and also have been like had a different personality.
Yeah. Like even now I'll find like Motel Hell will be on and I'll start watching it. And it's like, wow, how did I see this when I was a kid? And how did it not scar me for life, you know?
Yeah.
It made you want to bury people in the backyard and grow them and eat
One
them.
who very clipped ears into the backyard and cut his vocal cords so he can't scream, and then fatten him up and yank him out from the ground by his neck and make sausage out of him. Yeah.
Yeah, make sausages.
Well, on that note, this
When
has
are you coming to visit, Chris?
been the last episode of Geek Brunch Retrocast,
These vegan guys make good sausages.
Right, all organic and stuff.
Yeah, they're healthy.
yeah, I
You know.
wonder. I have to look into the rule book if there's any sort of prohibition to from becoming meat.
That's right. GMO free, all organic,
Yeah.
grass fed. Yeah, works
Yeah,
out
grass
well.
fed, exactly. Yeah. So you knew there were superheroes and stuff, but I mean, did you
Yeah.
know they connected to like the comic books and that like people collected them and all that kind of business, or was like,
Not
and
really.
did Mike like kind of was that like a prominent thing about him that you understood early on, or was it something that you kind of discovered later?
No, I pretty much knew early on because I used to go with him to the comic book store. Even when we were together in high school, I'd go with him on the weekends. Go to, what was it?
That one hippie guy, what was his name? It was Tall Tales.
Yeah, Dave.
Dave, yeah, he had the cocaine nails, remember?
Yeah, he had cocaine nails for sure.
Oh, man.
And just the long hair,
I liked
long
him, though. I didn't
features.
like the New Yorker guy.
Yeah, what was his name? John?
I don't remember his name. I just didn't like him. He's the one
Grim.
that like led like took over the store and
Yeah.
kicked Dave used to own it and then he kicked him out.
That's what I always say if I forget to cut one of my fingernails.
Yeah.
I get all the rest of them. I'm like, oh, that's my coke nail.
My cocaine nail.
Yep. Yeah, you know, and it was the 80s back then.
He had a big nail.
Yeah.
He
It
had
really.
one on his what was his pinky, and the
Yeah.
nail was like curved and long. It was bizarre.
Yeah. And if you're gonna have a cocaine nail, I think it usually is the pinky.
Yeah.
That's what
Well,
I'll
yeah.
title this episode, Cocaine Nail.
So yeah, but yeah, so I knew early on. I didn't know that it was going to become quite this extensive. You know, back then he had maybe a few boxes in his closet.
Well,
Yeah.
there were only a few in the closet, but if you remember that overhang that my dad built, there was like maybe eight short boxes.
Yeah, those were eight short boxes.
Yeah.
Yeah, still nothing
I could deal with.
compared to.
Now I fill eight short boxes in a month. I don't know.
Yeah, it's really scary.
But I mean, you have your, I would say you have your own kind of geeky interests, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I would say.
I mean, I know
Yeah.
you're really into sports, which is, well, you can be geeky about being into sports, but I would say like even though you're not into comics in the same way, like you have a lot of tastes that are sort of similar to that sort of fit into.
Yeah. Well, I always liked like Looney Tunes were always my favorite kind of thing growing up. I always loved the Looney Tunes and my friend and I when we were in college, Chuck Jones was gonna be at a gallery in Santa Fe. So my friend and I hopped in the car and drove up to the gallery just so I could shake his hand.
Oh, that's
cool. I always remember that.
And you got to do that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. So I always remember that.
Speaking of him, Chuck Jones, we just recently watched a Foghorn Leghorn cartoon. And that guy is an asshole. I mean, he's really bad.
For some reason, Mike never realized that Foghorn Leghorn was a real ass.
No, but I guess I always thought of him and the dog always fighting. But I didn't realize he was such a instigator.
Yeah.
Like, he was a horrible instigator.
Yeah. And always yelling at the chickens to make more eggs. And
yeah, he was forcing that old chicken to lay eggs. And they'd come out all crooked, and then he'd slap her around. And
pretty much.
It was awful.
Yeah.
That's kind of why I like Looney Tunes more than like Disney. And I was like, the Looney Tunes, like, there's not, like, it's a lot more, like, morally ambiguous.
Yeah, there are no boundaries in Looney Tunes cartoons.
Yeah, I mean, like, Bugs Bunny, he's not like, really, like, a good guy, like, in the traditional sense. Like, he's kind of, you know.
Yeah, I never liked Bugs. I liked Daffy.
Yeah, they're, like, real mischievous, like, all of them are, you know. Whereas, like, I don't know, Disney is just a bunch of goody-two-shoes.
Right, yeah.
I love Yosemite Sam, just because the angrier he gets, the worse off he is. Like, he just gets pissed off.
Yeah.
I love to watch those cartoons.
So yeah, so Looney Tunes and then the Muppets.
Yeah.
Have always been a big thing for me, too.
Did you get into the Muppets from, like, watching the show back in the day?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I used to always watch that, the show.
Nice. Yeah.
What didn't you watch? That's a big question.
That's a good question. I watched everything. Yeah, I don't know. I can't name very much that I didn't watch. MASH. I didn't like MASH. I didn't watch that for sure. That's one that comes up a lot that people like.
Yeah.
I never liked it.
My dad loved that show.
A lot of people did.
I never watched it, really.
Yeah, that's how my friend that's only a couple years older than me likes MASH, because he remembers his dad watching it. But that was kind of before my time.
Yeah, just a little.
Just a little. I mean, just a little before I was bored, at least. But, like, I guess it'd be more than a little as far as being of an age to actually comprehend it.
Right.
So some of the movies that you watched in high school that that you absolutely love.
Like John Hughes movies for sure.
Mm-hmm.
16 Candles, Pretty in Pink. I love Say Anything. That's one of my favorites.
Yeah, I've gone back to watch a lot of those where you guys were like the perfect age for those.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, because we're right around the age of the characters in the movies.
Yeah.
Which made it even better. Breakfast Club. You know, all that stuff. It was just good.
Home Alone.
Yeah, Home Alone.
What was that one where with the Rocketeer lady that he did with the target? I can't remember that. I can never remember that name.
Well, like another one of the later ones?
It was one of the later ones where two robbers broke
career opportunities.
Yeah, that's what it was, I think. Career opportunities.
Yeah, because that was on when we were in Estes Park. You were watching that?
Yeah. That had Dermot Mulroney on it, too. He was one of the bad guys.
Yeah.
I remember when we saw that. I think we saw that one together. It was so different from all the other movies that he had done before.
True.
Such a goofy name, Dermot Mulroney.
Yeah.
Yep.
I always remember him from Young Guns because I love that movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a great movie.
And now, Barb, you're one of the co-hosts of the Eagle Cast, right?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
You guys report on when, like, the Eagles have babies and.
Yeah, I just do that. Fight.
Well, I thought that one. I thought there was one other science lady that you're friends with. I thought she was your co-host.
Yeah.
What's her name? Pam or something?
Oh, Pam. Bridget Carroll. It's John Carroll's wife.
Yeah, she always likes
comments. Yeah, she just waits for me to post stuff, and then so she knows what's going on.
She's like, we're going to talk about this on the next episode.
There's right. A lot of drama, though, because her current mate, which I like to call Firstborn, he was a cocaine head, and he killed the husband. He killed Ozzy. And now Barb's rooting for this guy.
Oh, man.
Well, because he has to, he's taking care of them. He's doing a good job.
I wish they had that on Netflix. I could have Chris watch Firstborn and we can cover it. Because that's that eagle right there.
It's not.
It is. It's Firstborn. God. Uh-huh. It's a Terry Garr movie with a RoboCop guy. God, I can't think of his name.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I used to be good with names. Peter Weller.
Oh, yeah.
Peter Weller was the bad guy. He's the cocaine guy. So he's the bird. He's the male eagle.
Uh-huh.
You gotta watch that movie.
Yeah. And eagles just have their natural cocaine claws. Just
and those,
yeah, I was going to say, it's like one of his talons is longer than
the master's. Yeah. Uh-huh.
And the baby eagles, they have to leave because they know their mama's in bad shape. They have to leave the nest.
Oh,
because
God.
Of all the cocaine on the pinball machine and everything.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
They get chased out with a pickup truck with the lights on it.
It's just crazy. Uh-huh.
Firstborn.
I'm just impressed at the infrastructure of the nest that they're able to get a pinball machine in there. That's. I think you guys should talk more about that on the show.
They said it's about the size of a king-size bed. The nest.
Whoa, for real?
Yeah.
Holy cow. Holy eagle, I mean, that's... No, I didn't expect that. That's I mean, I guess, well, like eagles it. Are pretty big, but...
Yeah.
But still, I didn't think of that.
Well, even the one they took down this year, because he had his foot caught around some twine, and they went up and rescued it and made sure his foot was okay. He was only about maybe 2 weeks old at the time, and he was already the size of a chicken. Whoa. But when you look at them in those pictures, they're not that big. They're all tiny, but they're not. Yeah.
That's crazy. We have a queen-size bed. We talk about how someday we want to get a king-size bed. I would just have some eagles make us one.
Yeah, yeah, there you go. Out of sticks and grasses and pine needles, and yeah, it should be very comfy.
Yeah, sounds nice.
Yeah.
Like exactly. I put like a rash across my back.
The eagles have a bigger bed than you do. Think
what
about
the
that.
Fuck? I'm not listening to Eagle Cast anymore.
Yeah, you're jealous of the eagles now.
I'm going to call the comment line.
Yeah. We'll see if we respond.
Do you have the collector mentality at all with anything?
Kind of. I like cookbooks.
Oh, you should talk to my wife about that.
I have a lot of cookbooks. Lots of cookbooks. Like
she
that.
Has a lot, but then
yeah. What's that?
She said she has a lot, but she also she's a librarian, so she brings home a lot of cookbooks from the library.
Oh yeah.
You know. Usually goes through them, finds interesting stuff for her to Sunday nights are our big make dinner night. You know, we'll do something that takes a little more time. I'm called the sous chef because I just ask what should I chop
Oh, nice.
and how should I chop it.
Yeah. Well, that's nice.
But yeah,
That's nice.
that's usually Sunday night because we have time a little more time.
Right.
That's usually
Yeah.
what I do. I do all the sous chef stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
He gets things out of the fridge for me.
There you go. The gopher.
Yeah, that's yeah,
Yeah.
one for status. But yeah, Mike's dad built me some really, really nice bookshelves for my cookbooks. Or
That's cool.
bookshelves on the top part and then cabinets below. I can store stuff because I like my kitchen gadgets too. So.
I started to take over the shelf and Barb kicked me out. That's
You
when
were starting to.
my blood pressure went up really high that
Yeah.
week.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. She was putting all this junk on my
Junk?
bookshelf.
What are you talking about, junk?
Junk. All kinds of little lead-based toys and stuff on my cookbook shelf.
Oh, the Eagle Moss.
Yeah, is that what those were? I don't know. They were like in bags with a. What
They were
were
like the
those?
mystery figures.
Yeah,
Those
I was
ones
gonna
that
say.
me and you exchanged a couple times, Chris.
Oh,
No,
okay.
I'm talking about those lead ones you had in those bags.
Oh, those
Think
were
lead.
Eagle Moss, right? They
Yeah, say
were, yeah.
those are the only ones that are lead, I think.
Those were stacking up on my shelves for my cookbooks, and I needed more
I was
space.
gonna say, I bet there's nothing allowed on the cookbook shelves that are
Not now.
comic related.
I'll sneak some stuff up
Anymore.
there every now and then, but then it gets dangerous. That's when I start to worry.
Yeah, because then it'll end up on the floor.
That's when you start finding what's his face in the shower with you.
Magniello.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Little Joe starts showing up
Right.
unexpectedly.
I hated that. That was very traumatic for me.
That was awesome.
Joe
It was so
Magniello
funny.
was following me around the house.
Hilarious because I was downstairs getting ready to leave for work and I hear this ah! From upstairs, Joe being in the shower
I
on the little
screamed.
window ledge.
I'm terrified of that guy. It's my
Oh,
biggest
he's very
fear.
strong. Very strong.
That's my biggest fear.
That he'll come for Barb and you won't be able
Yeah,
to do anything about
I won't be able
it.
to do anything about it. Not a damn thing.
He's got Sofia Vergara. Give me a break.
He'll say, "I have this to offer you," and I'll say, "Well, you got all these comics."
For you. Look
She'll be
around.
gone. He'll say, "Look at my six pack," and I'll say, "Look at my 12 pack. I'm shaped like a pear." Come on, check this out.
You get more for your money.
Oh yeah, so that's my kind of collector mentality. And I have a lot of yarn.
Muppets and Looney Tunes.
Yeah,
Yeah.
you do you make a lot of stuff.
Yeah, so I have a lot of yarn. So I took over one of his corners from his comic books.
That pissed me off.
Them out so I could put my bins of yarn.
I at least could fit 9 short boxes in that corner, and now they're bins of yarn. What kind of shit is that?
Yeah. Go to the basement and look at the basement. Complain to me about space.
You got plenty of room down there.
Right.
Oops.
Yeah. See, Luke Foster knows he's been here.
What's mine is yours.
Knows how many comics Mike has.
Yeah, he's witnessed it firsthand.
Yes, seen it firsthand.
Any other retro questions you want to ask, Chris?
Let's see.
You mentioned a lot of John Hughes films. What else is there?
No.
Well, you've... we might have made it sound like you don't like comics, but you definitely have read comics. You, at different times, right? Like you've done more like the Vertigo type stuff.
Yeah. I've read more Vertigo than anything. Like, was it Exterminators?
Exterminators, Fables.
Fables. Although I kind of stopped reading Fables.
But you read all of Jack of Fables.
Yeah, I read all of Jack of Fables. I love Matt Sturges. I read all of, was it Brian Wood?
Oh, DMZ.
I read all of DMZ.
Why the Last Man? Did you read that?
Yeah, I read all of Why the Last Man. That was the first series that I read.
Wasteland by the guy who used to do drugs.
Yeah, I read Wasteland.
That was back that in high school. Vertigo High School.
Yeah.
You started reading Sandman, too.
Yeah, I started that. I started...
Grim Fairy Tales.
Yeah, I read a few of those. Ex Machina, but I don't think I finished it. Or did I finish it? Finished it.
I think you did.
I started reading the one by, what's his name, Jason?
Jason Aaron?
What was the one that I was reading with the cop on the reservation?
Oh, Scalped.
Yeah, I started reading that.
That one is good. That's my favorite to go.
Then he stopped giving it to me to read.
What do you mean, give it to you? They're on a shelf. Stop giving it to you. She stopped looking for it.
Have you read, since you read Why the Last Man and some Ex Machina, have you read any Saga? So that's by the same writer.
No, he hasn't given those to me to read.
Those don't exist in trade. Barb hates the single issues.
Yeah.
Waste of time for her.
I'm all about the trade.
Yeah, my wife prefers to read trades too.
Mm-hmm.
But she has kind of similar tastes. Like she's read Saga and she's tends to like Image stuff, which is kind of what Vertigo was.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of stuff. Not really interested too much in superhero stuff.
I read Identity Crisis.
Yeah, that was the superhero one you read.
Yeah.
Yeah, you read that because you like the author, right?
Yeah, we're really tight. He sends me emails and stuff.
Never answers my questions, but she answers Barb's questions.
Yeah, I'm on his email list.
Uh-huh.
He sends me, "Hi, Barb. Thanks for supporting." And I read all most of his novels.
So that's why he likes you, because...
Brad Meltzer.
Like, support more than just his comic books.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, for his books and stuff. Yeah, and True Story, Swear to God from Tom.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that.
Read that one. This is awesome. And I started to read Chew.
Yeah, that was the one you were reading.
I was reading on my Nook, and then I stopped.
That's because digital comics suck.
No.
They suck.
Or whatever.
I read a bunch of Chew and I like it. I just for some reason haven't kept up with it, but I'll probably read it again at some point.
He's really good to
enjoying it.
To hear at a convention.
Oh yeah. The author.
Yeah, he's very... It's like he wants to write a big hit so he doesn't ever have to work again. He said, just so I could hang around all day and play video games and smoke pot, I'll be happy.
Yeah.
You know that you read a lot of books, right? Novels,
Yeah, I read a lot
civilized
of
people
books.
call them.
Yes, the no picture books. Those,
Was
yeah.
there any of those that growing up that were like we consider retro that you're particularly like are particular favorites of yours or were real influential on you growing up?
I know when I was little, I read a bunch of Judy Blume, but that was pretty common back then.
Oh
Now I think
yeah,
they're all,
those are
most of them are banned, aren't they, in the
the paper
library?
boy, Henry the paper boy, right? Or is
No,
that
that's
somebody
Beverly
else?
Cleary.
Oh,
That's Beverly
Narica, Beverly Clearly. That was my book, Arthur.
Cleary.
Beverly Clearly.
So yeah, but
So Judy Blume, those are classics.
I read a lot of that. I read, can't remember a lot of the books that I used to read the newspaper when I was a kid. I would read, I mean, I've always enjoyed reading the newspaper.
Yeah, like a little adult watching horror movies,
Yeah.
reading the
Yeah,
newspaper,
read
got
the
like
newspaper, a cup of coffee, no.
pack of cigarettes a day.
Yeah, at least.
And then you went out with Freddy Krueger and all hell broke loose.
Yeah, my life's never been the same since.
Can see how that might happen.
So yeah, but like recently I just finished Heart-Shaped Box by Joe Hill.
Oh, okay.
I'd read Nosferatu a little while back. Now I'm reading a book called Nature Can Kill You about parasites and little creatures in nature that
And how do you traumatize me by telling me shit
watching.
about that?
I watch Monsters Inside Me. I
Yeah.
watch.
All I want to do is swim in the lake. That's all I wanted to do.
Not me.
But it's perfectly okay for you to go in that swamp ass dirty water that does have parasites in it because of heat.
Hot springs, the heat,
Yeah.
it's so hot at them.
Yeah.
Weirdo.
You smell like minerals for like a month.
But it felt really good.
That
where like you can do like a float? Like you float because there's so much salt in the water or?
Yeah, pretty much you can. Yeah, it's just the hot, natural hot springs.
It
Oh.
smells like sewer.
Sulfur. It smells
That
like
must be
sulfur.
that.
Sulfur, yeah. Like hell. That's what hell smells like, brimstone and sulfur.
Yes, I was bathing myself in hell.
Yeah.
She comes home, and you're like, did my crawler arrive?
Bamf, bamf.
And for her, it's like, Barb, Barb. Barb's
Right.
gone. must have been that Japanese influence. Like, we saw the, gave you the hot springs. They're like all about the hot springs over there.
Yeah.
Growing up.
Yeah, well, Hawaii, I don't know. I don't remember any hot springs
It's just
anywhere.
always hot.
They don't need it, yeah.
No, it wasn't hot. It was just perfect. You know, 80s, some humidity, but so now I can't handle cold at all. If it's below 70 degrees, I'm freezing.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I can't take it. But yeah, so yeah, I don't know. Book wise, that's probably, I can't really remember everything I read back then. I didn't
Yeah.
know.
I just know
But I've
I read a
always
lot of
tried to be
Stephen King.
something. Yeah, see, I read a lot of Stephen King too.
Yeah, I read a lot of him and so that's the funny thing about me. I couldn't handle visual horror. I couldn't watch some movies, but I could read about it 'cause I could like
Really?
control it with my own imagination.
Okay. Just kind of hold things back a little bit
I
and not
guess,
make them
yeah.
as scary in your mind.
Yeah, I guess I
It's because there's a horror scene. He starts thinking of sunshine and bubbles.
Yeah,
Somebody's getting murdered. He's like, oh, there's bubbles and there's sunshine.
don't. Yeah, that's the only way I can explain it. Yeah, there's, I don't
Interesting.
know what the difference is. But I could handle the books. I guess it was like the closest I could get, and that was like what made it exciting or something. But I read a ton of Stephen King, and then that led me into like some others like Clive Barker and Peter Straub.
Who? Ever read Dean Koontz?
I think I read like one of his. I never got into him very much.
Yeah. Stephen King, I like his books, but they never end right. I don't know. You can't write a very good ending for me.
Stephen King?
Yeah. Yeah, every book I've read of his, just about, it seems to just kind of fall apart at the end. I don't know why.
Well, you like that guy that writes all that court drama stuff.
Yeah, Michael Crichton. Yeah. Well, Michael Crichton and then John Grisham.
Yeah, that's who I was thinking of, Grisham.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, legal stuff I like.
Cool. Well, I don't think I have any more questions.
All right. Well, thank you, Barb.
I have to say, too, the one thing I miss from the olden days, pre-internet and everything, is lack of spoilers. I miss that. That's what I wish you could go back to. Because, like, I used to watch 30-something, which was a TV show back in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
I used to watch that every week.
But back then, you had to watch it every week.
Right, but, you know.
You couldn't DVR it and then say, I'll watch it next year.
No, but there were VCRs back then.
Well, yeah, you could tape it and watch it. Like.
But, you know, there was, like, one character on the show that died in an episode. And, it was, like, totally out of left field. Just completely. You know, and I was just in shock, and I'm trying to call my best friend because she would watch it too. You know, I'm calling her, and I'm getting a busy signal because, you know, no cell phones. So I'm getting a busy signal. Apparently, she was calling me, and she was getting a busy signal.
On the rotary phone.
No, I have a push-button phone, smartass.
The rotary phone.
Yeah.
Through the switchboard, they're like...
Yeah, and to say, oh my God, did you just see that? How could they kill him off? And, you know, but I miss those days.
Yeah.
Where you're not spoiled. And I know Alan would totally agree with that too, where everything wasn't out there. You didn't have anything planned out. Like nowadays, you look on the internet and it's, oh, here's a picture of somebody that's coming up in 5 episodes of this TV show.
You're spoiled ahead of time. Like, that's
what I'm saying. It's like 2 months before they even show up. Oh, here's this picture of somebody person that's going to play them. And here's this. And, oh, this person just signed on another TV show. That must mean that they're going to get killed off on this TV show. And, you know, back then it was just, things were easier, I think.
Yeah, you'd have to wait for a magazine or something like that. And it'd be closer to...
yeah.
The good old days of Wizard Magazine. Instead of having to get instant satisfaction, you read your monthly Wizard Magazine.
Yeah. But yeah, no, I agree with you. Like, spoilers just wasn't a thing. And there's, you know, the longer the internet is around and the more pervasive it becomes, the more those of us who do remember life before it, you know, you realize that there are definitely negatives. Like, I don't think I could go back, and I wouldn't even know you guys if it wasn't for the internet, but like, so there's obviously positives, but you realize that there's, you do see the negatives more.
Yeah. Cause I just miss that. Like, yeah. Who shot JR? Oh my gosh. I got to wait months to figure out who shot JR. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not going to find out, you know, in 2 weeks. Oh, rumor is that it's this person. And,
yeah.
You know,
that's why we have to watch Walking Dead live.
Yeah. Yeah. We started watching.
Everybody
it the same
spoils it like instantaneously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it might not, it might just be a picture, but that picture gives away everything.
Yeah. People just can't resist.
Or a name. People will do like the name of somebody with exclamation mark after it. And you're like, oh, come on, really? No, I know.
Yeah.
Something happened.
Still a
spoil.
Yeah, right. But it's like, if you can't, you can hardly ever just go in 100% fresh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, we were talking about that at work too, about, you know, like kids today, they don't know, you know, the Dewey Decimal System in a library, or they don't, you know, things like, you have to go look through all those index cards. And then, what was on yesterday? Yesterday, Hand That Rocks the Cradle was on that movie, and she's flipping through the microfiche in the library. Like, God, I remember doing that. That was pre-internet.
Nice.
You had to go flip through.
I don't even know how it worked today, like school-wise, because you don't ever have to go to the library.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's like available digitally.
Your wife works at a library, right?
Mm-hmm.
What does she see these days? Like differences?
Oh, I mean, and my background and training is in the library field, but I don't work as one. But there's a lot of technology. She works a lot with technology, and there's a lot more, like, they're getting into like maker spaces, they call them nowadays, where they have a lot of like technology that people might not have access to at home. Like they have a 3D printer and like an area, like a recording area. Like people can go in and like record, like use like, people that might not have access to like a good computer or, things like that. And there's a lot more focus on like popular materials and research and stuff, but there are databases that, you know, like are provided through, even though people use them at home, they're provided through having a membership in the library. And some of them do the contract with the database owner for some reason are only available. Like there's a genealogy database that's only available physically in the library.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's just become more specialized, you know?
Okay. Do they still have those cards? You know, like the index cards to go find a book, or is everything you just look it up on the computer somewhere and
oh
go
yeah,
find
I
it?
Mean they've had computerized catalog for a long time now.
Yeah.
Think
but you had
some...
to used to work to like do your research, like work, like you might not even be able to get your research project done because somebody has the one book
exactly.
out that you need
checked out,
and now that you don't have that issue.
I know, because even in college I'd have something in chemistry lab and you have to figure out what your unknown is. You have to go, okay, after I've done all these tests, now I have to go to the library and find these books and go through all these chromatograms, find which peak matches what I've gotten. You know, you can't just look up on the internet, oh, let me do a quick search of this peak and see, you know, this.
Google this.
You know, I can't just Google it. You gotta go look through books and books and try to find things. And, you know, kids these days are just, oh, let me just Google.
Yeah, I think the difference now is that, like, you can do research pretty easily, like,
mm-hmm.
but,
yeah.
like, you can't do good research easily.
Mm-hmm.
Like it still takes time to do like good research, and not just find like the same like Wikipedia article that everyone else is using, you know?
Right. Yeah.
So I think like the problem is that like kids get to a college level and like they haven't developed decent research skills. Like I briefly worked on a desk. This is like a practicum. I worked on a desk. In a college library, you know, and I mean, it was interesting because of the randomness of the questions that people would come up with, you know, but I think it's just like how to find something other than the surface level information once like a student is required to do that, you know, mm-hmm. and has to dig deeper. They don't know how to go about it, or they don't know how to like, they don't know how like,
how
to
utilize
the databases or how to use the databases. Like they don't know how to use like it's one thing where you're just popping into Google to like find like song lyrics or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to get like the right search results, but like once you actually have to do research, like to find particular journal articles and stuff, it's just like,
right.
it's not the same. It's just pounding in the same, you know, methods, mm-hmm. methodologies that you use for Google, you know, and that's when the issues arise.
Yeah.
But
I could see
anyway.
That thing. Yeah. Interesting. So that's my thing.
Cool. I agree.
All right. Give us some words of wisdom. Stay off the internet, kids.
Yeah.
Go out and play.
Yeah, go out and play.
If you are on the internet, stop spoiling TV shows for the old people.
Yeah, right.
Get off of my lawn. That's what
not
you
everybody
said.
has the time to watch everything as it's on.
Yeah.
You know, some people have other things to do.
Almost have to work for a living.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Well,
so.
Thanks for coming on, Barb. You're the superstar collector.
I really needed
to ask you those questions.
And if anybody wants to buy my collection.
You're announcing it's for sale. And
do not contact Barb at labbarb.com.
Yeah. Yes. Feel free. I'm on Twitter at labbarb. You know, let me know.
No.
Send me a DM.
Send me a DM. Interested. No, don't send a DM. If you're going to send something so I can reply to it and tell you where to go.
Yeah, where to go to find the comic that you're looking for.
Yeah, I'll tell you where to go. You can go where the brimstone and the sulfur.
Go find the sulfur smell.
You can go to those hot springs. Live in hell.
I could sell like entire boxes from down there and he'd never even know.
I would know.
You'd feel a disturbance.
Don't get me angry. I feel it.
You'd feel
like right now I feel a disturbance. Somebody took my Frank Miller hardcover, first edition.
No, that was Luke.
Luke Foster.
The only one who's been in that room. I would appreciate what that is.
He made the same mistake. He thought, Mike won't notice one thing missing.
Yeah.
He's like, something is wrong.
Something is wrong.
Yeah.
Something
so we're just here in our house, we're just blaming Luke for that.
Sounds
just
good.
Stayed in that room. Who would know what it's about?
I'll blame Luke next time I can't find something, too. I think.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Blame Luke.
You should. Definitely.
We'll send him a DM.
Yeah. How do you think he paid for his trip around the country? Yeah. It's like with my books.
He just stole
your
something every time.
He just said, he won't notice this. And Barb's like, hey, I think you could take this box. Just load it up in the truck. And Barb's helping him load them. And then I sense a disturbance like 3 months later. I'm like, something's missing.
You're getting a pain in your neck.
That's yeah, pretty... I do get that neck pain.
Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. We'll see.
Yeah. So you can reach us at geekbrunchpodcast.com. And you can leave an iTunes review, right, Barb?
Yes. Leave an iTunes review. They need more iTunes reviews.
Yeah. We need a lot more iTunes reviews. So get on that.
Mm-hmm.
Tons of them.
And on Twitter, at MythMakingETC, at LabBarb, and at Mike Myers Brunch. And I think that's all our contact information. Emails, MythMakingETC@gmail.com. What was that?
Don't listen to me.
What were you saying? Are you going to give out my social security number? Or what were you going to do?
Oh, I thought you forgot Chris's, but you did that one first.
Yeah. Listen to EagleCast.
Yeah.
Listen to Rocky Mount Comic Book Noise.
Yeah, the collector's editions.
Yeah, that's all there are, or Silver Age.
That's what edition. I forgot to do, Superstar Sensation from Rocky Mountain Comic Book Noise.
What's
everybody
that?
Tuned in just to listen to you.
Right.
Yeah.
Sure.
You had a huge cult following.
Well, not true.
It is true.
Yeah.
They were like the Barbie acts? Is that what they were called?
Yeah, the Barbie acts.
No.
Just like Benedict Cumberbatch, she's got the Cumberbitches.
That's it.
Well, thanks for joining us, Barb.
Thank you.
We have to go to Target.
Good to talk to you again for
the
first time in a while.
Yeah, definitely. Are you going to cons this year?
Yeah. Definitely one of them. I haven't completely figured it out yet, but I'll definitely be at one of them.
Okay. Awesome.
So, I'll see you eventually.
Sometime this year.
Not soon enough, but...
Definitely. So true.
We got to size you up, so when we put you in the ground. We dig a deep enough hole in our backyard.
Oh yeah, yeah. We'll get the measuring. Yeah, don't mind us if we've got a measuring tape.
Yeah, and... if I have a measuring tape, don't worry about it, Chris.
All right. Well, I gotta go sign up for some self defense classes.
Yeah.
So I'll be talking to you.
All right. Thanks.
All right. Talk to you later, Chris.
All right.
See
bye,
you.
Guys.
Bye.
Yeah.